listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday.
Yes,
Memorial Day Monday, and also Africa Day.
Mama's birthday,
and aww, our special guest Mama's birthday is our girl Ray Sani, who you guys may know from, you know, writing on the President Show. You might know her from her own stand-up. You might know her from a Black Girl sketch show. I just feel like she's doing so much. What's going on, Ray? How you doing?
Hi, I didn't mean to interrupt your intro, but Africa Day and my Nigerian Mama's Day got me excited.
You know, nothing wrong with that. You know, we love the excitement, man.
Yes.
You look great in the yellow and everything. You know, how you been?
Thank you.
How you been? It's, you know, we last time we talked to you was
October
29th, 2017 is the last time you were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
For real?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
It's been a while, man. So, like, what you been up to for the last about 2.5 years?
Well, I've been terribly devastated by the political state of our country. And I've been hating Los Angeles passionately. I'm fucked. That's what's been happening.
Okay. You know? All right.
I'm fucked.
How do you like it compared to back home though, New York? Like, is, especially in like the pandemic, is it less stressful than you think it would be back home? Cause I know New York is like the epicenter.
Yo, New York is fucking crazy. Like, I talk to my parents all the time and they like, they're really scared. Like, my mom is older, immunocompromised, and she works with older people. So it's just like, ooh. And, you know, she was very ill last year. Mm. And so, you know, it was crazy because I had a move date. My move back to New York was March 25th. True story. I'm sitting here on a fucking coupon from Delta to fly back or whatever. All my shit is in storage. Like, I'm here in like, what is it? Like, furnished housing, corporate housing, overpaying rent. Mm. Like, COVID really bodied any plans. Like, my plan was to go back to New York and become a stand-up comedy legend, but it just didn't happen that way, you know? And now I'm just like stuck, you know, in LA, like, trying to get acclimated, I guess. The problem with LA is that I don't know how to drive. I'm a native New Yorker. Never learned how to drive.
Right.
I'm a subway ass bitch. Mm-hmm. And LA is such a car city.
Right.
That I feel lonely, isolated, that kind of thing. But LA is an amazing place for quarantine to happen because nobody's outside. Mm-hmm. Except for people at the beach suddenly. And I'm African, so we wasn't doing that anyway. And so, I don't know. I just feel, I just want dick.
And what about, like, and then with the driving, I think it's better for quarantine stuff is everybody get their own car and stuff. So, like, even if,
right,
like, we was listening to one of the quarantine bops yesterday, and the guy was talking about how he was going to get on the highway and go see his boo and they was going to quarantine together. And, you know, at first it was like, no, don't do that. And then I thought about it, I was like, that's not that dangerous. Like, if he's social distancing and he wants to hop in his car and go to someone else's house and they quarantine shack up, like, that could work.
My homegirl just was like texting me the other day. She was like, yo, Rafa, I'm going to Florida for Memorial Day weekend. Do you want me to come through when I get back? And then I was like, man, I'm lonely enough. Risk it.
Wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, use condoms, wear a mask, and come see a girl on Wednesday. Like, I am so bored and lonely. Maybe having COVID would be exciting. You know what I mean?
Spice it up a little bit.
It's like, I need something to
hello. Like, I'm a cough. That's, you know, that sounds like somebody else conversing with me, you know. My sister just left, so I'm very, very lonely.
And it's like, it's at least 2 weeks worth of tweet material, maybe even more, just going through the whole process, you know, like, oh, today, coughing a little bit harder than I thought I would be.
Exactly.
So,
but I smoke so much weed that I can't even play risk it, you know what I mean? Like, I am not asthmatic, nothing like that, but I will say the one good thing about Los Angeles is the availability of marijuana. And, like, truly, I turned into, like, it's so fucking lame to be suddenly a stoner at 32. Like, that is so fucking corny. Like, like, I'm just discovering drugs like a 15-year-old. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just want to be high all the time, guys. But, like,
it's not corny. It's not corny at all. I tell people that their drug program worked on me. So I was one of them people. I was like, say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. So, you know, I am like a complete square. So, you know, I understand how people can get into it when they're older, because they tell you that it's not good for you.
What era? What era of DARE? Because were you like the, when they came to your school, or was it like, this is your brain? This is your brain on drugs? Like, which?
We were the early.
We were both a little bit. Yeah. We was more of... We got the, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs, like commercials, but we got like the officer to come to your school. We went through a program, you graduated, they gave you certificates.
They played videos, and the videos made it sound like drug dealers were gonna rape you in the bathroom.
Didn't it though? It sounded like you were gonna slowly open up the bathroom door, and like these strange shadowy figures were just gonna turn around and was just gonna like, I'm gonna shove these drugs up your ass. I mean, they just had you paranoid.
It was terrible.
That's so funny, because I have a weird kind of pop culture like blind spot, because maybe like when I was like 3 to 7 or 8, my parents didn't let us watch secular shit or listen to secular music. So they're Muslim, Nigerian Muslim. So I don't have any kind of concept of the early 90s. But then I remember just kind of like leaping back into it at my cousin's house. We would just be watching Oz when I was 7, which was wildly inappropriate. But like, I don't know if drugs and stuff is as real as like New Jack City or whatever would portray it. Is it like, was it like that they needed to come scare you like that?
It was like that in some places. I mean, obviously New Jack City is a little bit of exaggeration, but it's based on real shit. But it was fucked
up.
The
crack epidemic was real. Like, our generation like lived through that, where you had like grandmama, your mama, your cousin. A lot of people had a lot of their family members that were on drugs. So a lot of it was, we want to quote unquote scare straight, which doesn't really work, but they wanted to scare the kids into not doing the drugs.
Yeah, people didn't, I mean, what? It was not far fetched for you to know people in your family that was on drugs.
Correct.
Like, I know I had them, you know, so it was like, it's one of the reasons that I'm always like, it's not funny, but I like ironic.
It's funny.
When you hear people say shit like, you know, the 94 crime bill and super predators and shit, I'm always like, but I was alive for that.
Right.
Like, I remember that time. Motherfuckers were scared. It wasn't, it wasn't like a diabolical plan. The shit was like, we need a solution. Like, you can't just leave motherfuckers to the streets and be like, it'll work its way out. And like, all the fucking, woke ass people at the time were like, we gotta do something. Like, even the activists and shit, nobody was like against the program. The people that was against it was like woke white people and shit that was like, this ain't gonna work how y'all think it is. But like, black people was like, motherfucker, they are killing innocent kids coming home from school. What do you want us to do? So that it was serious. And I think that, and then my dad heavily influenced me, because he would be like, you're a black male. And by the time
you got it that young, you got that conversation that young.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, because
you'd be like,
I'm sorry, particularly with boys and girls, but particularly with boys are aged up. Girls are aged up too, but boys are really aged up. The second they're no longer cute, they're considered a man, regardless of their size and their height. They age them up just like they age the girls up.
Well, my dad told me, he would say, you have something like, if you can make it to 21, like the odds of you making it 21 is something like, you have like a chance of either being in prison, having HIV positive, or dead. So like, he's like, my only job is to get you to 21. So he's like, We just gotta beat the odds, you know what I mean? Cause it was like, the shit was so real, like, you know, so it was like keeping you out the streets, keeping you, you know, in school, all that kind of shit. And I mean, you know, a lot of kids from my neighborhood and stuff, you watch them go down different paths and shit, and it's like, yep, that motherfucker start fucking with drugs and da-da-da-da. So but we've watched it change over the course of our life too, because now, like, fucking with drugs for black people is not the death sentence that it seemed to be back then.
Right.
No,
so.
No. And I
think that's just so crazy to me, because I grew up in the fucking gutter. So it wasn't even like, oh, I'm living in the suburbs. Like, we was in Flatbush and then East New York, and we was in the fucking gutter. But because they so African and because we was Muslim, it was like the mosque, school, home. So we didn't really mingle, you know, and I feel like I'm protected in a little bit of a way. Like, my brother got conversations, but he didn't get the I gotta get you to 21 conversation.
Yeah.
God forgive them, but my parents was like, don't be like these Americans out here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then some racism happened to my father, and then he became the pro-blackest nigga out there.
Yeah.
My father was a cab driver, and he told me that somebody called him a nigga in the car, and that was when he was like, oh, they don't care what your accent is. Mm-mm. A nigga is a nigga, and he's a nigga with an accent.
Right.
And yep. So
that's that indoctrination. It's one of the reasons I don't really feel like animosity towards people, like black people all over the world when they come here. They are also getting shown the same shit we get shown.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, you know, they're taught and they believe all this stuff, and they don't know, because like white supremacy's PR and exportation is so fucking
good.
Oh
my God.
You know?
Yeah, it's top notch.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Like, it's so funny because I love to see my parents' journey and my own journey too, to be honest with you. Like, let me not front. I used to think we was better than Jamaicans. Like, I'm not even going to play like that, you know? But yeah, like, my father, he's like, somebody called me an N-word in a car. And I remember, I'm going to admit this. Don't tell anybody as we broadcast to your thousands of fans. Listen. I remember when I was, like, in my first year of my super white private school. I'm a scholarship kid and whatever. We went to my private school. And, you know, the only black men around was my father and my brother. There was nobody for me to date, have a crush on, whatever. I remember I called myself going home to my African house and being like, Dad, you know, I just don't ever want to date a black man. They're just so rough. Woo! When we talk gathering,
right.
Okay? Have you had a Nigerian man tell you why you not shit for thinking white people is shit?
that's what happens, though. I mean, you see a lot of American blacks go through that, man. In Howard Bryant's book, he has this chapter, I think it's called The Lost Tribe or something, but it's about all the kids that are, like, supposed to be symbols of progress for their parents that are moving out of the hood to escape all the shit we talked about, drugs, violence, all that stuff, you know, lack of resources. You go to a white place to live on the outskirts of the city or whatever. You're a chocolate chip in a fountain of fucking vanilla, right? You go to the schools, you get the quote unquote better education, you get all this shit. And then they get disappointed because the kids come home and they're like, yes, the first person I had a crush on was a white person. The person I want to, the idea of like beauty and marriage material and all this shit is all white shit, because you're still getting indoctrinated by those white folks, and because you're not part of your, you don't get to be part of your culture all the time. You have to, you know, you spend
all the time.
Yeah, you spend so much time in school, you know, like school is, for a kid, school is like work. You spend so much time
40
there.
Hours a week. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Easy peasy. Can you imagine? I don't even wake up before 9 a.m. these days. And I have to be at school at 7:30. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
It's crazy.
And it's a balance, though, for a lot of parents, because it's like, I want my child to have more. And then so for some parents, they like, yeah, you go with these white people, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to hang around your cousin Pookie and them, like, you, I'm not gonna allow you to lose that blackness within you. Like, I'm not gonna allow that separation.
And it's hard because you talk to those kids, when they get a little bit older, you know, I think it's all phases and cycles.
Right.
But when you talk to some of them as adults, a lot of those kids that were forced to kind of like be back with their people, what are their experiences? I was mocked. They, black kids didn't like me. I was, you know, that kind of shit. So like, it's just a fucked up white supremacist situation coming all the way down. Like, no matter which choice you make, it's always gonna end up fucked up. It's why I like to make so many jokes about it, is because it's like,
you know what's,
I can't
so
judge.
Funny about that though, because I think about this constantly, because I feel like I've had such a unique experience of all these things, just like an amalgamation of everything. I will say to you though, the people who have judged my blackness the hardest have been white people.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who've ever called me Oreo or shit like that have been white people.
I know.
Black people have never shat on me. Like, I've had, you know, comments here and there, but they haven't happened since I was, like, in high school. I remember, like, one girl was like, oh, Rafa, I think she's pretty because she's light-skinned. And that was my introduction to colorism. But Nigeria is obsessed with light skin. Right. They bleach their skin, whatever. Mm. So me being, like, naturally, so that was often a conversation at our mosque or, like, when we went to family gatherings. But my mother was very, very careful because my brother is darker than y'all.
Mm.
And we have the same face, but just, like, really, really different complexions. And my mother would go out of her way to make sure I didn't think I was better than my siblings.
Right.
And so it was very weird to then go to, like, St. Anne's and then go to Princeton, and people would be like, oh, you know, you're different from other black people, and other black people would never be like that to me.
Yeah,
like,
that
they
was,
would call me corny because I'm fucking corny, but right. It was never like, oh, from you white.
I think
corny, you
that
know?
Was my experience, too, was that the only time someone questioned my blackness, it was always a white person. So I think it was just a function of, like, the neighborhood I lived in and shit. Like, it was no... There was no, like, ambiguity about what kind of fucking neighborhood we came up in.
Right.
So, like, the white people that got in our neighborhood was like, what, how'd you fuck up? Like, what you do to get here with us?
Yeah, like, why are you still hanging around? You ain't white flighted yet? It was
one of
those type of things.
You really wasted your whiteness, right? You fucked your privilege up somehow.
And is Charlotte super, super segregated?
I wouldn't say super.
New York is. New York is.
I wouldn't
super
say super.
Segregated.
No.
It's the South, so no.
No. Yeah, because the thing is, and it's hilarious when you talk to people, because I personally have problems with people from up north who act like down South is just this hickbilly ring-a-ding below, and we just ignorant and we just stupid. When I look, I go, well, hey, we don't got Chinatown. We don't have Jewtown. Like, we're not separated like that. Like, we're actually forced to live together. Yes, racism is here. It is here. But there's no, you better not cross this block.
Yeah, I think the other thing though is, like, those kids get socialized out of, like, quote unquote, out of blackness, and they have to fit in with white people. And some of them kids end up believing that shit, you know? Like, some of them kids really do think they're special and they're different, and I'm not racist, you're different, you know, but these niggers, you know? And so some of those kids will get fucked up by that, and I think it's a lifelong journey to unfuck yourself from that.
Oh, of course.
I think,
you know, I'm still learning shit, to be honest with you. Like, I'm still learning shit, like, it would be terrible for me to say that. But I, like, true story, I'm not gonna lie, like, when white dudes was the only shit available, like, when you were at Princeton and you were at St. Anne's, they were the only dudes available, I just wasn't really dating them, and you don't realize how unconscious a decision it is, and however unconscious it is, it's still a decision.
Right.
And so, you know, like, I was getting violated by white dudes. They didn't respect me. They don't respect you. Right. Like, God bless your interracial relationships, everybody out there, but I just don't trust them. Mm-hmm. I learned hard lessons. But I don't know. It's so weird to reconnect with black men beyond your father and your brother through sex. But a dude fucked me right to Usher's Hey Daddy. Right. And that was it. I was home.
It's like, I'm on this. I'm on this now. This is the new, it's the new standard.
Like, this is the shit. And I think for me, Ray Sonny, when we was talking about like, blackness and things like that, and it's weird, but I think I have a quote unquote a privilege, because for me, there was no question my blackness. You know, we used the word nigga. I knew I was black. Like, there was no questioning who I was. And I did not realize how much of a privilege that was, that I didn't have to go through a lot of the struggles, the back and forth, the who am I type of things that some adults to today are still trying to fix.
Mm-hmm. Wait, now I'm curious. When did you lean in on nigga? Because I remember when I was like, I'm a nigga who says nigga. When did y'all decide on nigga?
For me, ever since I've been small, my family has said nigga. Like it's been in the vocabulary
the whole time.
Yeah. Like my family, that is for me, nigger didn't have this bad thing. It was like, hey, what's up, my nigga? How you doing, my nigga? You my nigga. Like, it was always in a pop. It was always presented to me in a
positive. In the household? Like, yes. Even adults would say it around you?
Yes. Adults would say it to kids. Be like, nigga, get your ass up and get ready for school. You know, like, we just talk, you know, you knew you was black. Like, it wasn't no question about it. But like, nigga, didn't I tell you to do your homework? You know, like, so for me, it was nothing to cringe or nothing to run away from. So for me, I don't have the same negative feeling towards it. Cause for me, it was always presented in a positive manner. And it could be it could be negative too. Put like this, nigga's one of those words for me where it could be a person, place, or thing. And I use it as a verb, an adjective, a pronoun. I use it just about anywhere to just describe stuff. And for me, it has a feeling to it based off of how it's pronounced. Because you pronounce it a certain way, okay, we cool, then you pronounce a certain way, it's fighting words, you know, so for me, I didn't
and
have
also
this
tone
thing.
Too. Right. Like, if only time you say nigga is when you say something negative, yes.
Right.
That's so interesting, because I had to make a choice at like 17, because I was like, why would we call ourselves such a terrible thing? And then all my homies were like, nigga, we say nigga around here. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And truly, I don't have like a philosophy. I don't have a moral change. I didn't grow up. I just didn't want to be the corny bitch in the group. So I say nigga now. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Warren. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I grew up with it, and my dad, he was like a really, he made sure we could code switch, so like, he really, like, was on our ass about talking properly, when we were kids, you know, he was like, you know, ain't a word, you know, that kind of thing, but my dad really loved comedy, like, and still does. Mm-hmm.
And then niggas is everywhere in comedy.
Exactly. And so, and they used to make him laugh. I used to laugh till I get asthma attacks. And it was like this special time in the house where it would be like, you know, I still remember, like, I almost died because of Damon Wayans stand up. Like, I almost fucking died. I had an asthma attack so bad.
But also he would kill you without the asthma. The nigga is a legend and he's so underrated. And I really, 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 don't get me started on stand-up. Yeah. Don't get me started on black stand-up, because we could go. Damon Wayans is a legend.
Yeah, that stand-up special is one of the greatest for me, period. Like, of all time. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I still...
He's in your top five specials.
That special is definitely up there, because like I said, that shit... It was one of those things where, like, multiple times I was like, well, I guess I have to go to the bathroom and have an asthma attack. So my parents would let me finish watching this. But I used to watch my dad really, like, that was the time where he really, it didn't matter that they weren't talking proper or whatever. They were very funny. It was making him laugh. And I remember being like, I want to be funny. I want to make people laugh. I want to make my dad laugh. I want to make people feel the way these people make me feel. And then also there was a certain level of license that they got that was freedom to be like, yeah, he can say nigga and it's not bad. And I was like, well, because, you know, my dad's like, don't say this, don't say that, but then Eddie Murphy's on and now he's saying all the things you say not to say. I'm like, I think I want to say those things and I want to do those things. So I don't know when the magic.
And not just that he's saying all the things you said I can't say, but you fucking love
you
when
love
he
it.
Say all the
you
things.
Love it. And so that yes. was, you know, so I realized then, like, oh, he's trying to raise me a right way. But mm-hmm. then there's this whole other undercurrent, because also it was so black, right? Like, as much as he loved, like, Carla and all these other people, there's just something else about the black people.
Right.
And so it was so black, and it was like a black currency. So we would go to school, and I would talk like that. All my friends talk like that. You know, like, we was looking at Def Comedy Jam, all that shit. So for me, it wasn't really, like, a conscious, like, choice. I do remember at some point, I think I went to college, and when I came back, I was just like, yeah, so I say nigga now and I cuss, so.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. I didn't have the.
Mom, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Nigga mom. Mom nigga dad.
And my parents was like, my nigga, you know, like you graduated into
the niggerdom.
The fraternity of niggerdom or whatever. But it was funny though, because I never had like fear though, cause I know a lot of black people talk about like, I don't cuss around my parents, I don't say the N word. It wasn't like that. Like, that's a different experience than mine. So it's not like I was worried, like if I say nigga, my parents are gonna hit me or some shit. It was just more like out of respect and whatnot.
Of
but
course.
They say it too, and they listen to the show. So hi mom, hi dad. So. Yeah. But anyway, you also have a new podcast.
Yes, I have a new podcast. And I'm very excited. I've done so many. You've been on this journey with me, Rod. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being a good friend throughout. Karen. I'm obsessed with reality TV. Anybody who knows me knows it's what I wear on my front, the way people are gamers. I'm a reality TV person. And I've been obsessed with The Real World since I was a wee kid. And, you know, it's evolved into The Challenge, The Real World Road Rules Challenge. And so now it's just The Challenge, because both The Real World and Road Rules are canceled, but The Challenge is still on. Mm. And they still have people from way back then. And they have people they bring in from, like, Big Brother and Survivor. It's very crazy now. But my friend Jacques Neal, who is a podcast host for this podcast called Culture Kings, and he's an actor, comedian, but I'm grown-ish, you know, shit like that, you know, LA shit. we just get on there and we talk about The Challenge, and truly, like, I've been doing a lot of podcast stuff in my days. Me and Marsha are trying to figure it out for quarantine time and stuff, but truly, honestly, just talking about The Challenge is the most fucking fun I've had in a long time, because there's a freedom talking about TV that you don't have with other things. Obviously, because I'm a Negress and Jacques is a black man, we inject race and gender and, you know, right. observations that people like us can't escape. Mm-hmm. But it's just so fucking fun to have a source material that wants to be as fucking straightforward and not layered as possible, as misogynistic as this season has been. And it's so nice to, like, put race into something, to put gender into something, instead of, like, looking up and fucking Joe Biden telling me I ain't black or whatever. Right. It's just, like, it's so nice to be the one to put it on something.
Right. You know? I think also, I was talking to Justin about this, because Justin, his favorite thing is reality TV. He watch all the fucking shows.
He's always posted about Love and Hip Hop or whatever, and I'm like, yes, Justin. Justin's my favorite, by the way. I no disrespect to y'all, but I love me some Justin.
Yeah.
You ain't the only one.
Ridiculous ass.
Yeah, he's a lot. So he loves reality shows.
I love how he trolls you. I love it.
I know. Everyone loves it. So that's the thing. We were talking about it. I was like, you know, the thing that reality shows gives everyone that nothing else really can give us anymore is the ability to judge people loudly and in public. Like, they're selling judgment. Like, yeah, they're really selling you is like, watch these people do stupid shit that you, you know, in a more polite, nice time, you wouldn't say anything. You'd be like, this is their choice. Or, you know, like, it doesn't matter how fucking liberal you are. It doesn't matter how conservative you are. When you see a motherfucker get drunk and do something stupid, you get to be disgusted with them. And that's what they're selling you. They're like, they don't mind that you're disgusted, you know? So
you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And it's very strange because I am very protective of reality stars, and I understand that their sole purpose is our scorn, to be mm-hmm. the object of our scorn. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a couple of Facebook groups, Shut Up. I don't want to hear it. Shut Up. Mm-hmm. I'm in Bravo Facebook group, Shut Up. And what'll happen is a couple of times I'll like go in and they're all white women. They're mm-hmm. always all white women. And I'll go in, like this morning, I went into the Facebook group and like, it'll be a screenshot of this random person sending the nastiest message to this reality TV star. And I have to go in and be like, you don't know these people.
Right. That's so scary.
Yo, okay, can you tell me, sorry, I'm very high. Can you guys tell me if I'm crazy? Because I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, but this is obvious to me. A woman drove into a neighborhood in LA and took a picture of the front of a reality star's house. And in the picture is the both of their cars with the full license plate in view. And she was like, oh, I went to so-and-so's home, and, you know, we were just driving around the neighborhood, and a couple of us were like, bitch, you weird. And everybody else in the group is piling on me. I'm like, no, this is psycho.
Right.
Like, this is psycho. I'm like, they were like, and one person legitimately said, oh, these people talk about their STDs on camera. It's not a fucking crazy thing for me to, and I'm like, I can tell you whatever the fuck I want to tell you about my pussy. You don't get to drive by my motherfucking house and take a picture of my front door and my fucking cars. Are you nuts? You just posted this in a Facebook group of thousands.
Yeah, fuck around and get sued.
I feel like I'm crazy.
Because people think that they have the right. They think they own these people. It's a certain dollar amount.
Yeah, ownership over strangers on TV.
That you don't know. I don't know what the dollar amount is, but everybody has this imaginary dollar amount in their mind, and they think once you reach that dollar amount, whatever the dollar amount that I deem too much. Whatever that dollar amount is, all of a sudden your rights don't matter. All of a sudden your privacy doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me, because I feel like I own the right to you, because this is what you wanted when you crossed whatever that threshold is, and that's not true. Sometimes people are talented and their talents get them this money. Some people's sole purpose isn't to get rich. They just happen to be rich. But for some people, they think because you got rich, you wanted to get rich. And because
so that is so crazy that you mentioned that, because so this woman, she was just like, well, I was like, you would be terrified if someone took a picture of you at the front door and put it in a Facebook group. And she was like, well, when people pay me to put my life on TV, then I'll have this conversation with you. I was like, jealousy is a disease. But you're mad because you're not paid to be on TV, and because you think you would do better with that money, you want to violate these people who aren't doing the thing with the money that you want them to do. And I'm just in this place right now. I hate reducing things to jealousy, because jealousy sounds like
that's what it is.
Oversimplified thing, but jealousy is actually so complex. Mm-hmm. And it's the root of so many things. And I only recently learned this, not because, you know, I'm so successful and everything, but people are fucking jealous, and they will like try to ruin you, destroy your life, because they resent that you have
Yeah.
What they think they want. They don't even fucking want it. I promise right. you. I don't even have anything. I have a couple things. Mm-hmm. I have baby things. I've been on the lowest rung of a writing staff that people think is popping, and you would think that I have everything the way people want to destroy you. It's yep. fucking crazy.
And then it's not just the dollar amount anymore, it's also the fame. So like people,
it's the fame. People it's mostly look at the fame. It's not yeah. even a dollar amount.
Because you don't really know what they make.
I think people want to be rich.
Yeah.
Yes, nobody knows what anybody makes, and I don't think anybody actually wants to be rich. I think people want to be shouted out when they go out in public, but right. they don't know what comes with that.
Right.
I've not gotten attention, but I've been with niggas who are getting attention, and let me tell you, that shit is fucking unpleasant.
Right.
Like, relax. Fucking eat your Eggo waffles and have your normal fucking life. Like, yep. true story, you do not want to be no fucking Issa Rae. You don't right. want to be no, like, you don't want to be Angela. Like, you don't want to be these.
And when they get, like, when you see people, like, like, get mad at people for having check marks on Twitter and shit, or Instagram, or having too many followers and stuff, it's always, like, this weird envy and jealousy. And you look at, like, what really pushed me off of people was looking at folks like political praxis being really closely related to everyone that's in my lane doing better than me. I'm like, wait a minute.
Exactly. How come my ideology is specifically everyone who also wants to write in television?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. Right. Get the fuck
this
out of here.
This the problem with America? This is what's bringing us down?
Right. this is the hill that you're willing to die on. But to go back with what you were saying, sweetie, I think for me, when it comes to that famous part, people don't know what these people had to do with the sacrifices they went, like, they don't know. They just assume that's something that they want. But guess what? The average person can walk outside their house and live their lives, and nobody will never know who they are. These people, the second they open their front door, they are recognized. They cannot live a normal life. They can't go shopping. They can't, like, they have to have bodyguards. Like, people do not realize what you quote unquote have to give up in order to have this particular level of fame. And it's very lonely there, being there when you know that you can't live this normal life.
Yeah, I listen to,
sure, I do, but I do want to be careful. I'm not out here, you know, sympathizing more for, like, Beyonce than the homeless nigga on the street.
I was listening to Questlove Supreme's show, and it was an episode with Solange on there. It's a really great episode. But Fonte was talking about, they were talking about Prince, and how everyone thinks they want to be Prince, but Prince would be fucking miserable sometimes, because it was like they go to a hotel, he's stuck in the hotel, he can't do shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, it's like, you're better off being like someone in the crew, someone in the band, cause those people, yes. like, you get the best of both worlds. Right.
Just yes, you reap all the benefits, you get all the groupies who want to fuck you on your way to Prince.
Right.
And you don't have to pay Prince's bills, and you don't have to perform Prince's sets, and you don't have to show up for Prince's obligations. Like, right. I totally, totally, totally understand that. Like, there's nothing I want less on the planet than to be so famous I can't go outside. Yeah, that sounds
crazy.
Horrible to me.
That's crazy.
If you, I gotta sneak, like, Beyonce has gotta go to fucking gas stations for a thrill. That right. sounds fucking insane.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking crazy. I wanna be able to just go to Chick-fil-A, God forgive me, gay people. I wanna go to Chick-fil-A, no problem. Like, I don't want it to be an issue. We gotta sneak pictures and post on Twitter. You know what I mean? If I, like, order from White Castle or some shit. That's
also, like, I've been thinking, I haven't really found the full thought on this, but at some point, people turned from, like, regular fans and enthusiasts of shit into, like, now everybody, or not everybody, a lot of people act like the woman who killed Selena. Like, they think that's, yeah, like, yeah. that's what normal is for being a fan now. It's, you know.
I think stan culture is the worst thing that's happened to us.
Agreed.
And for us to have reclaimed a term that started out so crazy right. is nuts. Right. It's nuts. Like, somebody reminded me yesterday that Stan did drive himself off a bridge and die.
Right.
And Eminem hadn't even seen the letters yet.
Right.
Like, that is crazy.
Right.
That is nuts. And that people, is absolutely fucking nuts. I mean, like, it's always been kind of bubbling in the back of my mind, but all the hype over Normani last year was the breaking point for me.
Yeah.
I was just like, because okay, I'm gonna whisper this.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel okay about Normani. but it was so overwhelming. Like, right. That motivation video came out, and I was like, yeah, she's a beast at dancing, but none of this is inspired, and I don't enjoy her voice particularly.
Right.
Just a perfectly fine pop song. And I would never have given it a negative review.
Right.
I appreciate a dark-skinned shorty doing her thing. So I would never be like, Normani is terrible.
Right.
But I also was like, it is absurd that on my own platform, I'm scared to feel okay about a song.
Right.
And then, like, I saw Cardi B posting Normani. Bitch, you don't even know Normani.
Right.
And then it was like all these, like, celebrities feeling obligated to celebrate her, and then the fandom being like, kill Camila Cabello because she was racist when she was 5 years old.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, you're going to murder people over this mediocre artist. Jeez Louise, I don't. If you want to murder, assassinate me over some good shit I did. You know what I mean? Like, I was about to ruin your parents' life because they was never going to see art the same way. Murder me. You know what I mean? But if it's like, oh, a song you can hear on the radio and passion, like, how do you have this passion? And I realized that it's not about the artist or the art anymore.
Right.
It's not. You know, belonging,
right.
Feeling self-important, empowerment through these, like, really toxic,
yeah,
faces.
It's the group,
the hives. Yeah, like I we are in the age of hives, and hives are very dangerous. Oh, they can be very dangerous because the hives' total purpose is just to protect the queen or whatever they're circling around. That's their whole purpose.
You're so
right. Anything that comes,
I never even thought about that. You're absolutely fucking right.
Yeah, anything that comes, they attack it. They don't care. Like, they can't tell good from bad. They was like, you said something, I got to say something. And they don't care because their whole purpose is to protect the person that actually don't need protection, but they feel like they must.
Well,
do
I think that's the thing though, right? So not to get too deep, but I always do, but it's not even
I love it. I listen to you every fucking day, you guys. I love it.
It's not even about the person. It's about it's about the group. It's
right.
Not about the person. And like, the person is a substitute for a reason for them to hang out, like,
agreed,
online, virtually. So like, that's why certain people have to be a thing, because they have to be a thing because we need a thing. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I
don't have any shade towards Normani. I didn't even really listen.
I don't know who she is,
because like, that's I finally hit 40 and then I was just like, I don't have to be involved. Do your thing, y'all. Mm-hmm. Have fun.
Mm-mm.
So it has nothing to do with me. And if people like, oh, you haven't heard that song?
No. And I'm fine.
Yeah.
Not hearing it.
I'm
not care.
Like, yeah, not even in shade. Just no. This seems like a temporary thing. Maybe we'll pleasantly be surprised in a couple years from now. I'll be like, oh, that stuck around. But for a lot of times, it's just a temporary thing because people need a thing. And I think another great example of this was Doja Cat's return. You know, because I know at first she was canceled.
I'm not gonna lie. I helped perpetrate that return.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the reaction to the first misstep was an overreaction.
Me too. I mean, she did apologize, and I read the apology. I thought it was a good apology. It just don't matter. You know, once motherfuckers decide they don't fuck with you, you could literally come to their house and suck every person's dick by yourself, and they're still gonna be online. Like, I don't believe it. Her PR agent made her do that. So I don't really go for all that shit. I don't care. But the resurgence of it, the reason I was I was interested in, or I saw it so much, is because this time people was kind of branding it behind like Black Girl Magic type shit. Same thing happened with Normani
when she came back.
Yes, it was like, okay, it was like, because she got a number one with Nikki, and all of a sudden it was like, look at all these black women with number ones. I was like, y'all hate Nikki. Y'all said she married a rapist, her brother, she covered for a child rapist.
To go back to your point about it being a group online and not like somewhat related to the identity of the person who they're standing, but mostly about being in a group. Right. Nikki's fans hate her husband.
Right.
They don't want her to be married no more.
Same thing with Beyonce.
Interesting to me. What'd you say?
Same thing with Beyonce. Same thing with Beyonce. Them niggas don't like Jay-Z.
Exactly. So it's not even like, oh, we stand everything you do. It's a like, we want to control everything you do.
Right.
Because everybody wants Nikki to divorce the husband. Me too, secretly. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. That nigga sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But I don't want Beyonce to divorce Jay-Z. But also, Jay-Z's my favorite rapper. So right.
That. Well, it's just, they're all the fucking woman that killed Selena, man. It's crazy. That's the one thing
I don't understand how we're celebrating this. Like, it's ultimately mentally deviant behavior. That's fucking nuts.
That's the only thing that I'm, not only thing, but it's one of the things I'm really glad about growing up in the household I grew up in. I just didn't do celebrity worship. So, I feel like I missed the boat, but I'm glad to not be on that fucking boat, because I don't really get disappointed in people either. Like, so when Doja Cat fucks up, I'm like, were we really making her a theme thing? Like, we didn't think she was gonna be president. We just thought she made music and had a fat ass. Like, it wasn't like a fucking movement. But I think
there's not proper context to these things.
Well, hold on. This is what I was going to say. So look at cause this happened with Cardi, and it made me caution against it. Cause I always end up bracing for it with people that I actually do like. People that like her shit then funnel their politics into her shit.
Right.
So then it's like, she can't be a nigga that raps.
Rather than receiving who she actually is.
Right. Now she gotta be an intersectional womanist, socialist, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's kinda cool that you want her to think, to express that. But then when she doesn't, now we have to have open letter to Cardi B. And it's like, that part is you being crazy. That's not her being crazy. Yeah. She didn't change or do nothing. She didn't tell you to be like bell hooks and Cardi B said. She didn't tell y'all to do that. You did that. And now we have to have this fucking discussion. I don't like that shit.
Well, because ultimately we be lying. We be lying about who we are. We be lying about who other people are.
True.
And we just lying ass niggas. And I don't know. I'm tired of lying. Like, the other day, obviously I'm not part of this community, so I feel kind of reckless talking about it. But Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga, actually, fuck it. They both women. I could talk about them. But Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga put out a song together called Rain On Me the other day.
Okay.
And I'm a television writer in Los Angeles. Literally every person I know is a white gay person. Mm-hmm. So all my white gay friends was like, this song is killing it. Rain On Me. So I go looking for this song. Mm. Nigga, when I tell you the shit was mid, the shit was fucking mid. I could have shot this song out. Like, it was so whack. Mm. Like, it was so corny. And I'm sitting there watching all of these people lie to me about how good a song this is. And these are people that I respect. I know they have good taste because I've talked to them. We've conversed about things. We've worked on things together. And it's so embarrassing to watch people feel like they gotta lie about some shit. And I don't know if it's proximity to success, true story. I'm not famous. I am the friend of the friend of the friend of the famous person.
Right.
And I'm watching my friends try to climb up and get to famous.
Right.
And I'm seeing their behavior change before I have the opportunity to be too swept up in it.
Right.
So see that shit. And it's just so wild to me because I can shoot you a text right now and be like, nigga, I know you know that shit. And they'll be like, yeah, but I want so-and-so on my podcast. Right. I want, and
It's a game.
And it's just very interesting because you never, I don't think I anticipated social media turning us into brand obsessed people when we aren't even brands.
Right.
But we, like, I even, like, I'm not even going front. There are things I purposely don't comment on.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And even still, I comment too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I called somebody a coon last summer and HBO was pressed.
Right.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, like, you gotta be,
well, even with, like, the other, sometimes I feel bad for the whites, though, because there was a time when they liked corny shit and nobody could tell them, you know what I'm saying? Like, the tools to get to them, to let them know, like, yo, this thing that y'all are going to give an award to at the MTV Music Awards is actually trash and nobody fucks with it but y'all. They don't have that anymore. So now when they try to make something happen, niggas be on their ass right away. They don't even get like a day to be like, yo, this is the shit.
Why
everybody's like,
you keep telling me Kate Winslet is bad? She's calling, fuck you, nigga.
Right.
King on that shit.
They don't never get, they can't have shit no more. Mm-mm. We be on their ass now. It's so different for them, man.
So you didn't like Watchmen?
Right.
Oh, so you didn't like Watchmen? Let me get 90 niggas to unsubscribe from your fucking channel.
Right. It be so serious in the streets.
It's the best, man. But like, so like, they, like, that's a definitely a new phenomenon for mm-hmm. them. Cause they had stopped trying to make things happen for a while. Like, they were like, yeah. What do you blacks think? And then if we were like, nah, boo, they were like, fuck it. We're not gonna fuck with it. Like, Iggy Azalea was doing good for a while, Macklemore.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it would trickle down to niggas. We'd be like, no, not good.
Wait, time out. Did you watch Dave?
Not yet. No, I'm scared. I think it's gonna be good. And I'm scared to watch it.
No, my nigga, it is good. And
see,
that
I knew
me
it.
So angry.
I knew it.
It makes me so angry because they're like, there are things that they don't, in my opinion, address well, like mm-hmm. Lil Dicky's whiteness and the mm-hmm. privilege. Like, they kind of like fan services mm-hmm. a little bit. They like kind of like, hey nigga, like, if we don't talk about this, we gonna look crazy. And but it's like, they're in kind of a paradoxical situation because it's like, they can't solve it. The nigga is rich
right.
and white and has this TV show because he's rich and white. Like, right. what can we do on the platform that we have because right. of the privilege? But it's excellent.
That's
like,
what
I quite love it.
That's what
I love it so much.
Here's my thing, though. Like, Shadow and Act did this, and it was so fucked up. When it first came out and they were doing the, like, is it problematic? They were like, Kevin Hart's new FX series Dave.
Oh,
right, because
no.
He produced
not
it.
Even this, no,
right.
No. Do people? You know what I learned from working in television?
Mm-hmm.
That you niggas don't know how TV works.
Right.
It makes me so angry every motherfucking day. Angry. I be wanting to shake shit. This whole asking for Insecure to be an hour, nigga, do you know what comedy is?
Right.
Also, it's like mad hard. Like,
yes.
Like, that's the other thing too. People think, like, people will write shit. Like, my favorite is when people write shit that they want a show to be. And I hate to tell them, but the only people that want that are you. Like, yeah. No,
are
like,
you?
Like, the reason that, like, I remember one time someone wrote a long thing piece that was like, yeah, the character of Kelly on Insecure needs to be this, that, and other. Matter of fact, I'd watch a show about her, and it's just her, and she's watering her plants, and she's working out, and she's going to work. I said,
so bitch, you write the fucking show.
Right, and
you
not,
write that fucking
not just
show.
That, not just that. Nobody won't see that show.
Mm-mm.
Like, you, it's That's easy true. For you to say that because you, like, you and your household of one thinks you want to see that. You don't even want to see that.
No,
you don't
want to see that. It's the reason reality shows are still do fucking great with ratings, because people do want to see dysfunction. They act
they
like
trash,
they don't.
Yes, they act like they don't want to see it. I had this debate with some respectable ass shorty the other day, and I was like, you a fucking lie. You a fucking lie. Because when I mention how much I love reality show, and I am really good at convincing people of things that are toxic, that's mm-hmm. how my brain works. Mm-hmm. And so I was explaining to her that she wants the television that she keeps telling me she don't want. Mm-hmm. She, oh no, I don't want this. And then I mentioned Nene from Real Housewives of Atlanta, and guess who had an opinion? Cause the bitch watched.
Right.
So it's like, but I will say that I love reality TV because, I'm of the opinion that equality is getting to be as terrible as everybody else gets to be. The luxury of individualism is that your flaws are yours and they don't, they aren't like a shared quality of a group.
Right.
Or whatever. And so, I was like trying to explain to her that I feel like, oh, okay, you know, reality TV is, we're not turning this into a think piece. Mm-hmm. Don't go talking about practice here and there, okay? Mm-hmm. People in the chat, whatever. I just mean that, like, in a space that is dominated by men, as is most things,
right?
Like television writing and character development and things like that, reality is the one place for girls to break out in the way that men don't have control over or don't shape. Similar to the way that like men condescend about makeup or modeling right. as like an industry, but they don't let us do the serious important things. They right. keep it masculine for whatever. So we go out and do these things. And I think of reality TV as like, where on fucking earth does a television show feature 50-year-old women being terrible?
Right.
We have all these TV shows like Better Call Saul, The Sopranos, all these middle-aged and older men being terrible and being heroes
right.
for doing it. But the minute girls want to be terrible on TV, it's trash TV. Right. We don't want it. And then when they go, you're not going to script us as complicated figures, so we're going to be complicated ourselves, like in our real lives, as they capture it. People want to reject it or mm-hmm. whatever. But there's an honesty in that. And people love to pretend they don't like it. People don't engage honestly with anything. And I don't know who we are all performing for, because we also all hate the people we right. gotta play for.
Right. I don't get it either.
What's going on?
And it's really wild though, because truth be told, a lot of the people are really quick to tell you what they don't like, but they will never tell you what they like. Okay. You don't like it. Let me hear what you like. Because see, if they tell you what they like, they know that shit is corny to somebody else. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people's thing is just to go around and tell people shit that's wrong with everything in the world, because actually the problem ain't me, it's you. It's something within mm-hmm. you that you're unhappy, so you scroll online to bust up in everybody's party and kick over the cake absolutely. And pop the balloons and kick the record player over because you're unhappy. I ain't got nothing to do with that. And also, to piggyback on what you said before, I think that when people make these lists, what a lot of times what they see is out there is documentaries, and motherfuckers, you don't watch them. Well, a lot of times what they, I don't want this and I want that. I don't, if it's fiction, you want real. Okay. It's a lot of real shit out there. That's very boring and very,
but they don't want that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you lie. Like you just telling these you're lies
lying.
to
we're all lying.
It's also like teams and shit. Like,
correct.
And I think people don't want to like upset their team and their social networks and their groups and stuff like that too. Cause like, people like, it's like, how can I say that I'm for all this positivity, but then if I watch Insecure and Molly and Issa are arguing, I'm tuning in every week and I'm live tweeting it and I'm talking about it five fucking days of the week on my social media, I have to be like, I hate this. This is terrible. Why can't they just get along? Cause nigga, there's nothing to talk about if they get along. That's not a show.
Yes,
like,
there's
that's
no show without conflict.
If these niggas just show up, have self-care Sunday every week and nothing goes wrong, it's the lowest rated show on TV. No one watches it. It never gets renewed. So like that whole idea is stupid. Like, you need the drama to make it work. And I think one of the things Ray reminded me about with reality TV was, I remember when anytime an NBA player dates a Kardashian, we always have to have this thing where like people feel like they need to clarify that the guy is a serious NBA player. Okay, so you
I'm sorry to cut you off. I feel very passionately about this. Remember when Lamar got caught in that fucking brothel? And Scott Van Pelt did a fucking whole fucking thing about how the Kardashian ruined Lamar. Like, Lamar hadn't been an addict since he was fucking 18 years old. Got lost.
Right.
His freshman year in fucking Vegas, but it was suddenly Khloe's problem.
Right.
Suddenly Khloe made him dangerous. I'm like, nigga, you are writing whole storylines about a nigga throwing a ball in a hoop. We are just as shallow.
Right.
You are just as shallow. Don't play with me like this. This is fucking crazy. And listen, I love NBA ball. I love NBA ball. I am a godforsaken cursed Knicks fan from since I am 5 years old. Don't play with me. It's the same shit. The same part of me that wants to talk about Khloe and Kim. And I hate Khloe and Kim, but I be talking about them because I'm a mess too.
Right.
But the same shorty who wants to talk about the people dating them is the same shorty who's watching the men they dating.
Right.
I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. You guys be whispering and talking and talking and whispering. Oh, I heard he's going to go to this team.
Right.
I heard he cussed out Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
Oh my, Stephen A. Smith was trying to fight with Kevin Durant. The nigga actually plays ball.
Right.
And you are you are called a reporter, but what you do is professionally gossip about niggas like Kevin.
Right.
And you gonna say to me what I fucking like ain't good, ain't masculine. You as girly as the niggas come.
We just watched a 10-hour expose on the inner workings of Michael Jordan.
And it was nothing but drama, and all the men were up and down the goddamn timeline.
Yes.
Having and I'm not knocking it.
If it was me, I would have disrespected him back, okay?
Right.
Because you're not gonna punch me just because you talented. And do you remember? How come they left this part of the gambling story out of the story?
Right.
You niggas is gossiping
the
fucking way.
The people do when they watch reality show TV. It's not a difference. And so, but for some reason, they want to separate it like they're different things. Everybody likes gossip. I don't know why people don't believe this. Everybody likes gossip.
And
my favorite
love
is
when men gossip. Because if you tell people my pussy is good, more people will come talk to me. Please. Go tell everybody I'm tight, I'm snatched. Okay, listen.
The thing that kills me were the people that would correct the headlines and be like, Chris Humphries is a New Jersey Nets NBA professional basketball player. He's not the husband of Kardashian. And I was like, nigga, more people in this world know him from the Kardashians. You can't argue that. The numbers bear out.
Can you imagine being a bench player on the net?
Right.
As if it were a fucking Senate position.
Come on.
Get the fuck out of here.
And for the record, I am fair, okay? I feel the same way every time they say not to call that woman George Clooney's wife. Same way.
One of them is
famous.
It makes me so mad. It's so fucking stupid. It's so fucking stupid. What lawyer do you know is famous for being a lawyer? There's two. It's Johnny Cochran and whatever niggas Johnny Cochran is chilling with.
Right.
I don't fucking know their name.
Mm-mm.
I was in high school with Barry Sheck's daughter. That's why I know who the other person on the OJ case was. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Cochran and niggas may have gotten your favorite person.
Right.
Do not play.
We
like
know Johnny Cochran, Matlock. Okay.
There's
two famous lawyers. Like,
what,
I couldn't.
Detective? I don't even fucking know.
But that's because people be approaching it with their teams, man. Like, that was the white woman feminist team that was like, no, she was already. I'm like, nigga, no, she's George Clooney's wife, and you know why? You know who's okay with that? Her, because she's fucking George Clooney. She wants you niggas to know. What's the point of fucking George Clooney if nobody knows?
Come on, what's the point?
Tell people, George Clooney dated 40 blondes.
Yes.
In 20 years. And we knew all of their names, and we knew that nigga was going to gift them babies. Mm-hmm. Then George Clooney got married and gave somebody babies. That's why she's important.
Come on.
People do law unrecognized all the time. Listen, why are we recognizing shorty? Because she's sitting on the right dick. Let's right. be honest with each other.
She snatched Come that nigga on. Up. He was the number one prize. She snatched him up. We got to give credit where it's due.
We don't have to keep telling her she's popping. The right. poppingness is that she changed her last name. Mm-hmm. She had a last name, mm-hmm. and she changed it to Clooney.
Right.
So she want us to acknowledge
she know
that nigga came.
She know, okay? She's okay. like, oh, I knew I was popping. You guys don't. You can stop. I'm with George.
Exactly.
I changed my name too.
If I'm a famous civil rights lawyer. And I go, wow, I am a famous civil rights lawyer. I'm known internationally for saving refugees, and I'm a UN person or whatever. And I meet some white nigga, and I take his last name. That's on purpose. That's a choice. Shorty was pushing 50. Like, mm-hmm. come on.
It is what it is. Come now, it, look, if you don't want it, there's plenty of famous rich niggas. Non-famous rich people that, you know, don't look like George Clooney and aren't as well renowned, but I mean, Eve snatched up a dude. We don't know that nigga's name.
I don't know him.
We fuck with Eve.
Oh, I know his name.
What is it?
His name is Maximilian. I don't remember his last
None
name.
None of us know his name. Famous. We don't. My point no. is, he not the famous one. Eve is no, the famous one, okay? She snatched up, not. And she's living comfortable. We don't need to know his name. She don't no, care mm-mm. if he, we know his name.
No, he could deliver me a pizza. I'd be like, okay, thank
she
you,
don't,
sir.
And she don't give a fuck. She's living comfortable off of that, okay?
But Karen, he would deliver you a pizza at like 200 miles per hour in a very sleek fucking car.
Yes. That motherfucker will fly you to Italy.
He's like a race car, like, billionaire.
Man, I love Eve. Eve don't never be
yes,
in nobody.
She is living her Eve, best life.
I did not know Eve had a job being on TV every day because she don't ever
what
fuck
job?
Up. She on one of the, like, Views or the
shows.
The Talk, mm-hmm. the Soup, whatever. She on one of those shows,
she
and she's been on that for years.
Yes.
She just don't fuck up, so we never hear about her. Do you know how hard that is to keep that job and not be fucking up as a black woman? Because, like, that's kind of what they get the black women on there to do, is to be the one who fuck up so they can be like, ooh, we went viral because Whoopi said some crazy shit today. Or we went viral because Amanda Diva said some crazy shit. Yeah. Yo, Eve been on there just minding her motherfucking
you just
business.
You called her Amanda Diva, yes. And you are fucking hysterical for that. That is hilarious to me that you remember that she's Amanda Diva, because I be trying to be like, niggas, why are you pressed? It's fucking Amanda Diva.
Right.
Amanda Diva did this weekend. I'm like, yeah, she corny like Amanda Diva
right.
was corny.
Yeah.
I don't fucking... But Eve is fucking dope to me. And I'm actually not on some Stan shit, because we've literally just spent like 2 hours shitting on Stan culture. But it is wild to me, because in that conversation... Like you said, we like drama.
Right.
Again, right?
Right?
In that conversation about female rappers, and we skipped that whole fucking era between Lil' Kim and Nicki. Because there was a whole time where Eve and Lil' Kim overlapped. Eve and Foxy Brown overlapped. Mm-hmm. Eve and fucking Down South Shorties, Jackie O, all of these people. Eve was popping. Yep. I remember my mom cornrowed my hair back for me. So I could look like Eve. She wouldn't let me get the yellow weave because I was 11, but I was out here trying to look like Eve. And Eve went. I remember Eve having hits well into 2002, maybe 2003. So we talking 99 to like 2003, 2004. And nobody talk about her.
And
she's not
it
controversial.
It was rumored that she had a sex tape with Stevie J. And I remember a little.
No, it's not rumored. Nigga, I seen it. Stevie J fucking dildo fucked her on tape. And now she on the Talk, like you say. What a
right.
fucking glow up.
A legend. Like, She left that shit behind so easy, dog. Like, it was just like you looked up and it was like, oh no, Eve fucks billionaires now. I don't know where you guys have been, but no. none of that ghetto shit for me. I won't be on Love and Anything, okay? So
I am so astonished that you guys are telling me that she's on the talk. That's crazy,
right? Because she don't every day, and she don't be. What happened was, Karen was getting up early to go to work, and so I was like, let me get up and walk you to the car. And so I'll come in, I'm already up, I'm like, I guess I'll watch these morning shows or something and do stuff in the background. And then one day I just noticed, like, yo, Eve is on this show. And I was like, I've watched this 3 or 4 days in a row. She's just on here. She's smart. She never says anything controversial. How long she had this job? Like a month?
She's smart. That makes me excited.
Yeah, I was like, she must have had it for like
another
a month.
Smart former stripper.
Ow. Hey. And so there was like, nah, she's been doing that for like 2 or 3 years or whatever the fuck. I was like, and she ain't never went viral for no dumb shit? Cause that's kind of what they do with the black person on the show.
Right.
Yes. It was like, nah, she just be on there minding her motherfucking business.
Oh, someone in the chat said she replaced Aisha Tyler.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Good for her, man. Like I said, she coming up. All right. This is the longest intro of all time.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. We love to just get to talking.
We do.
Now, we, do have news. Okay.
Are you
going to coronavirus me? Or? I'm a coronavirus. We have been starting every show with a coronavirus segment. Featuring different songs.
Yeah, we don't know what they're gonna sound like.
Today's song is who is this? It looks like Rose Mullet. Okay, coronavirus. Okay. It's called coronavirus.
Are we about to get some folk virus songs? I don't know. Rose Mullet sounds like a white woman who wants to warble over some acoustic guitar or some shit.
Well, I've never listened to any of the songs before we hit play.
Mm-mm.
This one's only a minute long. It's Rose Mullet and it's coronavirus parentheses COVID-19 theme song.
Oh,
because you know
song.
It needs a theme song apparently.
What is this, like the Pokemon song? We just gonna
like, what is this gonna be? All right, I'm gonna hit play. Let's see.
Listen up. This is a public service announcement. The coronavirus is a global pandemic. Do not go outside. I'm quarantined and I'm so bored. Got nothing to do but the chores. Gonna go online and send a tweet. Go to bed and then repeat. So I sit down, got nothing to do. So I step outside and get some food. Then I better watch out. It's coming for you. Tell me it's just a dream, but I see it stand right at me. COVID-19's come for me. Coronavirus coming right by us. Where's the fears coming alive? I'm scared, I wanna die. COVID-19's coming for me. Coronavirus coming right by us. Corona, coronavirus. Corona, coronavirus. Corona. Coronavirus.
That was the coronavirus theme.
First of all, can I just say that as far as theme songs go, like, it's terrible. I just bit my tongue. Theme songs are supposed to be repetitive so that they stick in people's head. If you think about your favorite theme songs from television, they're rather repetitive, or at least the songs, the verses sound like the previous verse. So right. This whole, like, switching it up on this terrible EDM track, garbage!
You know, trash.
I hope this song dies along with people.
Yeah, that song.
I didn't finish it because I knew that was trouble.
I think that song went to one of the coronavirus Memorial Day parties, so.
Yes.
So in 2 weeks it's gonna be completely gone.
It's gonna be gone.
It sounds like the kind of white song that used to be popular, like right at that slight little bump between like the 90s and the 80s where people
were going to Ibiza and wearing that stupid shirt and fucking
they were and they were like
a little
you didn't really need to sing the song. Like I remember when we graduated, we had that one song that was about sunscreen and it was long as fuck. And people were playing
it.
You haven't heard this song? Oh God, it's so terrible. No.
I feel like you only like 7 or 8 years older than me. Why? Like, I mean, I guess that's enough for a cultural
difference.
Ladies and
gentlemen,
I have no idea what song.
Of the Clash of 99. wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only
this
one tip for the future,
vaguely familiar.
Sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists.
Let me get to the beat.
4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day.
Is this a parody of Chris Rock's No Effects in the Champagne?
No.
That one came first?
Yeah. Chris Rock's came second. But like this, and then there was also that song, which actually is a bop, that I don't know the name of it, but the one where it's like, I was sitting at the counter of the...
That's
the shit. That's the shit. White people got that one right. But the point...
Wait, I have a question. Do you guys... So, okay. Are there... Did you guys chase out white songs, or were there just like white songs that were so popular they got to you? Because I feel like
this is my point. There was no methodology at the time to take away white people's things. So white people got to pick some songs, right. And then you just had to fuck with them songs because that's what it was
playing everywhere.
There was no Spotify list.
Here's his whole career is that, me having to just accept.
You just gotta accept it.
Yes,
and like
I'm Britney, bitch,
and I'm not. Like I said, yes. I'm not trying to cape for the white man. Okay, I'm not. But there was something lost in the cultural exchange that they now don't have any voice.
Yeah.
When it comes to what's popular, like, there used to be a time where I'd be like, fuck, they got that one right. I gotta give it up. That one is banging.
Cause you can tell me.
When was your last, like, fuck it. I don't care if white, black people drag me for this. This is my white shit. I'm going up. It was Ariana's Thank You Next album for me. When was the last
that
time
shit
you
is
had
flames.
A, like, fuck it, black people. This is my white bitch.
Because I'm here to tell you right now, you couldn't tell.
Well, that's the thing. I've never really been one that, like, care what the white people did, so I didn't really fuck with them like that, but I think... and then for black folks, like with music, I don't like to talk to about music to folks a lot of times because it's so subjective. But I think the last joint that I was like, this is white as fuck, and it goes, was that
and we just gonna deal
was what was the name of that? It's a song that You Don't Know You're Beautiful song. That joint.
One Direction.
Yeah. I was like, this shit is actually good. I don't really care what niggas think. I'm not even gonna seek out to know what niggas think about this, cause like, I was like, that's actually a bop. So that was probably the last one.
And then Karen, when was the last time you was like, look, this white shit is lit. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what? The same thing that Ariana Grande, I was listening to What's the Tea, and Nick Drew and Reggie were talking about her album just dropped, and they was talking about how good it was. And I never really listened to any of her music, so I was like, you know what, let me go check it out. I fucked around and pushed play, and I rocked that shit all the way to the end. I was like, oh shit, now
my favorite is when you find out that other niggas do fuck with it. That, like, so for mine, I was huge into Maroon 5's first, like, three albums, and I remember playing that for the chat one day, and everybody was like, this is my shit, and I was like, wait,
yeah,
it's all our shit, we all,
yeah. but if you
know, I'm not even lying to you, swear to God, the first time I got fingered was to a Maroon 5 song, so they are very, very intimately connected with me and fingers in my vagina, like.
Shout out to Adam Levine, okay,
come on through. And you
that's
know,
why I didn't even get mad when they did halftime. Everybody
me
was,
either
they everybody
was
hating
shit.
They
was
like, why are you gonna let them do the Super Bowl halftime? I was like,
I feel like I saw so many people, myself included, being like, listen, my 15-year-old self loves this nigga.
Listen,
really?
I'm telling you, niggas was hate. You gotta remember, niggas was hating for political reasons. You had Jay-Z was gonna work with the NFL. First it was, none of us are gonna work with the NFL cause, you know, they blackball Kaepernick, and they're like, well, we're coming to Atlanta. Don't y'all wanna, like, have Atlanta artists? It's like, none of you niggas better go over there. I don't give a fuck who you are, okay? I don't care if it's Jermaine Dupri. I don't care if it's Outkast. Everyone declined, and people was declining and shit, and so they worked down to, like, well, I guess we'll go to Maroon 5. And people was like,
oh, yes, oh. They wanted Cardi there. Right. Cardi didn't go.
And it was like, these whack ass white boy, I'm tired of this.
I was like,
so wait, we don't fuck with Maroon 5 no more? Is that what I'm being led to believe?
But this love was come a on. Whole anthem. Like,
come on.
Man. They had them albums. You could play from beginning to
Sunday
end.
Morning. Like, get the fuck out of my face, dog.
Listen. Sunday morning is my African mother's jam. You have to understand, when Sunday morning came out, my mother was like 48 and bopping.
Come on. They tried to gaslight us during that last Super Bowl, man. That was when I said, that was the day I remember I said, I'm not fucking with Black Twitter no more. Letting them make decisions.
Do you know what my not fucking with Black Twitter no more?
I have 37 of them, but go ahead.
You have 37? That's hysterical. My most recent one was, I felt myself, like, every time I complimented a white woman, I felt myself finding a reason to compliment a black woman right after.
So make it even, equality.
It would be on some wildly irrelevant shit. So I would just be like, I'm like, wow, you know, Kate Blanchett is so fucking poppin'. And by the way, don't you fucking love Lauryn Hill?
Right.
Ain't that fucking crazy that she's fucking great?
I think when people started telling me shit was bad, that was good, was when I got fed up. You got fed up.
Yeah. Because you start feeling crazy, like my brain, like the same way I came to y'all just to make sure it was not okay to stalk reality TV people. I never trust my brain anymore, and like, not to be super arrogant, but my intellect has always been the only thing I've ever liked about myself. I don't think I'm pretty. I don't think I'm like cool. I don't think I'm like funny. I'm trying to be funny. No, this is not me fishing. This is just me placing my brain where it actually is, just being honest about myself. So I appreciate you wanting to help my self-esteem, but we gave up on self-esteem a long time ago.
It's the truth.
I blame LA for this.
I appreciate you. No, truly, I thought I was popping. I thought I was beautiful and funny before I got to LA. No, I'm not even.
All right, hold on. Ray, hold on. I gotta pause. All right, we're back. You were telling us how you moved to LA and it killed your self-esteem, and now you don't think you're pretty and smart and beautiful anymore.
No, I still think I'm smart. Don't, you know, that part, you ain't gonna take that one from me. But no, it was hard. You know, I'm out here being like, I'm the smarter bitch than everybody. But no, it was really, really hard because I turned 30 in December. And on 2 weeks' notice, I got my job at The Good Place and I had to be out. So I turned 30 on December 12th or whatever. I had interviewed for The Good Place maybe December 17th or something. And then had to wait a couple weeks, and I was in LA by January 21st. That, if you've spent 30 years in the tri-state area, like, true story, I went to Princeton, so that's Jersey, an hour away. I literally had never had a different environment to be in personally. And suddenly I'm in this place on short notice, and maybe this is controversial, but LA black people, in my opinion, don't respect blackness in the way that I understand and get. Like, God forgive me, this is a terrible sentiment, but it's true. I'd be like, you don't even like light skinned bitches out here? Like, I can't even get like hollered at by. I'm like, I know you're not gonna like my dark skin friends, but y'all, you were like, listen, I got 4C hair, nigga. They do not care. I'd be like, listen, I passed the paper bag test and they don't care.
Yeah, I think, I do think it's like, cause we were talking about Black Twitter and like not trusting the shit. I do think it was, for me, it was them putting dirt on shit that I'm like, all right, well, I guess there's no need to check that out. But then it's like a double thing, cause it's like, oh no, we shitted on that for you to check it out. And I'm like, nigga, kind of logic is that?
Sense.
Like, do you mean like TV or music? Like,
all of it. Like, people, fucking bad. Everything. Like, this shit is terrible. Don't fuck with it. And it's like jokes about how terrible it is. I'm like, so then it's no need for me to fuck with it, right? And then, really ain't gonna watch it.
In my opinion, sorry to cut you off. In my opinion, LA, Hollywood, no, let me not say that. But a certain kind of people in Los Angeles who are Black are very anti-Black, and they don't realize it yet.
Yeah.
And it's a very frustrating thing to encounter. It's a very frustrating thing to watch sort of trickle down to the rest of society. I remember, Kenya Barris's show, Black as Fuck, came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. But niggas been shitting on it, though. Like, it started off, like, motherfuckers like, fuck this show, blah, 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 before you even get a chance to see it. Like, that's the shit that turned me off. Cause then I watched it and I was like, this isn't even bad. Like, how did y'all hate this? Like, y'all hate the dude. Y'all don't hate the thing.
Right.
Like, y'all hated it before you even fucking got a chance to breathe. People were saying they hated it after an episode. There were people saying, I didn't watch an episode. Let me tell you 37 things bad about this. That's crazy to me.
But you didn't see it.
Because it's about... It's about the collective community of hating the shit. It's not even about the thing.
So we've decided online, we've decided arbitrarily what Blackness looks like and what is the most appropriate woke version of
right.
it. Yes. And I don't, let me tell you, I didn't watch Blackish. I hate the title of the show, and I watched the pilot, and I was like, okay, not for me. But you will never catch me trashing it.
Right.
Yes? But there's this weird, and it gets people successful, and I think people on Twitter try to emulate it so that they can be successful, which is to offer why your version of the Black art today is better than the Black art that came before
right.
it. And, you know, that's common. It's called the anxiety of influence. You'll see it in Greek mythology and Greek playwriting and, like, all of that stuff. It is throughout all kinds of Western culture, and I think Black people adopted it. I don't think... you know, pre-colonial Black art has all that, but I could be wrong. I just know Yoruba art and Nigerian art, but it's like very, very bizarre. This thing that you have to kill your father so that you can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I remember there was this like one. So that whole week of Black AF came out and I hadn't even seen it. I was just on Twitter looking at it, and I just kind of was like, wow, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you are really going to kill this man because he tried to talk to you.
Right.
That's fucking nuts.
Crazy.
That's fucking crazy. They not even talking to you, and this man tried to talk to you. You're going to kill him. But in particular, I remember I saw a tweet from a person. I think his name is like Ernest Owens, and this is not me trying to start beef on your platform. It was just something I remember. And he was like, he, you know, gave his long fucking thread about why this show is trash. And then he said, this is, you know, he kind of implied that Kenya Barris has a history of colorism, which may or may not be true. I don't fucking know. But he said, this is the final nail in the coffin. And that phrase made me go, I'm done with all of this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You are some little nigga on Twitter. You think... You think that this ain't me on BET. Kenya Barris has made ABC so much fucking money that they gave him other shows. He has two primetime shows on ABC and one on Freeform.
Right.
And, oh, he don't really... fool with that because he over at Netflix with his $100 million deal. And you think... Your tweet is the nail in somebody's fucking coffin. You jealous bitch. You corny bitch. You whack bitch. I don't even go up for Kenya like that. But you think that your little social media is the difference between all of us and like, and these legends? If it's so easy to do, my nigga, go do it.
Right. And then the thing is, cause I heard, an episode of like the Griots podcast that was about Black as Fuck, and they had Ernest on there to like explain his point of view or whatever.
Also, this nigga was doing podcast tours to explain why he's jealous of a show.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. That's corny as shit.
But it was so wild. Funny. It was
like, I have a chip on my shoulder because the way people handle Black Lady Sketch Show, you would have thought we murdered niggas on this show.
Right.
You would have thought that we was raping children on that show.
Right.
All we did was try to make you laugh and maybe miss the fucking mark.
Right.
And I don't even think we did.
I don't either.
Niggas wasn't paying attention or wasn't giving us a chance. Do you know what goes into a sketch show? Everybody loves nostalgia. Right. I want you to watch 3 episodes in a row of In Living Color and tell me if every sketch hit.
Right.
I want you to watch 3 episodes of fucking Chappelle Show first season and tell me if anything hits. Get the fuck out.
Not just that, but watch it with your 2020 lenses.
Right.
Like, do it the way you do everything else, where everything has a thread, a needle to be funny now. It can't offend anyone.
Do you know how many episodes of the Jamie Foxx Show and Martin are written by a white Jewish man? And the fuck you mean Black girls can't write Black comedy? Get the fuck out of here.
And I remember that time because, and kind of in the same vein as Black as Fuck, it was a lot of like, well, then that's because you're this type of Black person. I don't know you. I don't have to know you. I'm going to just inject all these stereotypes and stigmas into like,
hello?
Y'all didn't grow up around Black people. You hate Black people. You all have white men and shit.
But also time out. How come your version of Black gets to be on TV, but mine don't?
Right.
How come I'm supposed to hide and act like I'm invisible because I went to a school? Because I had a certain socioeconomic status. If we being honest, with the exception of the Cosby Show and the TV shows that got sired through it, all of Black representation was low income and hardly educated.
Right.
And then when it got to be different, now niggas is feeling left out. And let's have a conversation about what things white people love to green light, what things white people with power love to green light. I could talk with you about that, but we not going front. Like, the shows you like wasn't white people telling you that Black people was poor and they didn't have anything else going on. I love Good Times, but Good Times is not a nigga production.
Right. And then Good also you have
written by white people.
But even with like
and through Norman Lear's lens in the chat room. That's exactly what I'm fucking getting out.
Right.
Like, seriously, we gonna sit here and be like, oh, we love this, and this. And it's like, if anything, the revolution came in the 90s when you had women, Black women show writers being like, okay, we wanna see girlfriends, that we want to see, you know, other
living
shit,
single.
But like,
yeah.
Black representation on TV was white controlled, and quite as it kept, it is still white controlled.
Right.
I love Black Lady Sketch Show. That is a nigga operation through and through, and
right.
It is so corny to see people because they jealous, and I'm not saying this on some like, oh, people want to be me.
Mm-mm.
I think jealousy is a complex emotion, and people
it
don't
is.
Understand it. It's their
right.
driver. That they are upset when something is not within their control, within the
right.
confines of what they want, within their scope. Now it's bad because we didn't think of it, because we wouldn't have thought of it.
Well,
and
also, I think
horrible.
There's
it's
like,
to do.
There's a thing where people want to resist respectability to a point where they make it respectable again. And they don't really
exactly.
think of, like, they don't think about the prisms that they put our artists in when they do that shit, where it's like, yeah, you could be Black, but it's gotta be this type of Black. It's gotta be this type of way. It's like, okay, so I can have a fat character on my show. Okay, cool. If I want to write her like one of the girls, all the girls go through shit. They're all the butt of the joke sometime, blah, blah, blah. You only get sensitive when the fat person's the butt of the joke. So everyone else fucks up all the time. That's okay because they're not fat. But the one fat character has to basically be boring. They got to always be right. They got to always like address every wrong. They got to always come out on the top and the end.
Absolutely.
Nothing can ever be fucked up. It's
they
their
have
fault.
To pretend they don't want to eat.
Right.
They have to be like, it's absurd. Third, what we expect of the marginalized people every time. And you sit there and tell us it's freedom
right.
when you're
it's
applying
not.
Restrictions
and,
that feel
and
like change.
More, and the part that's even worse, we have more shit now. So you literally could just watch other shit.
So
this is not,
the
yeah, this isn't like when you had the Cosby Show and it was like, here's your black shows, okay? Cosby Show, Family Matter, what? This isn't like that anymore. Like, you can go and pick on some obscure ass streaming platform that I've never fucking heard of. There, it exists. It's like PBS Max is fucking out there, and it's got the one obscure black show that you want to see about black ghosts that fucking write books that don't ever experience racism. You have that. And then what fucks me up even worse is like, whatever this one black show doesn't do, that's the shit people are like, okay, so if they would have made the right choices and did this, then I would watch that. The fucking show comes out because that's how life works now. That show that you said you spoke into existence, it always comes out, and then they go, I don't like that. That's one of the reasons I got mad about a black lady sketch show, was because you had people saying shit like, well, this is for white people. There's no fucking white people in the fucking show.
Right, it's like, did you watch the show?
They don't even have bits where it's like, oh, a white person came on and we all reacted to the racism of having to deal with whiteness. It was literally black escapism. It was black absurdism and black woman absurdism.
Yes.
And it had LGBTQ people. It had all this shit, and people were picking every single fucking sketch apart, and I'm like, you are the people that say you wanted this. You wanted to see black women empowered to do exactly what the fuck is on your screen, and you couldn't wait to call them out of their fucking names like they were some type of problem. Like, oh, this, like, you might as well call them bed wenches. How the fuck, like, dude, you literally did that yourself.
Rod, I, Rafa Tani, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, born in East Flatbush, actually born in Bushwick, raised in East Flatbush, then East New York, and now Crown Heights. If I go chill at my parents' house, I am suburban.
Right.
I'm suburban. And my thing was this. I did a lot of, because it was the first time that a TV product that I had worked on had been viciously attacked. So I'd worked on The Good Place that has, even though The Good Place didn't have like the greatest ratings in the world, it was just kind of accepted by internet nerds as like a perfect show.
Right.
And I agree, it's a perfect show. And like, the president show was too small and white to be even got at. Rel, I don't even think people was watching, to be honest, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But Black Lady Sketch Show was wild because it was so unkind.
Right.
It wasn't, hey, I don't think this show is funny. It was never, hey, this comedy trope doesn't work for me. It was never like, her singing voice was problematic. It was always, y'all are not black the right way, and y'all are not attractive the right way, and all of this, all of this. And I got so sensitive. I was always arguing online, always arguing online. And it ended up being a bad look for me. Like, I haven't deleted those tweets, but I do regret them. It's just like, oh, you're a liar. You need this to be bad, and you need this to be terrible for different reasons than the organic.
They were looking, well, that was the thing. They were looking for community. I remember we talk at the time, and I'll be like, yeah, this isn't even about y'all. It's them throwing up a fucking signal flare to other people to like, come hate this. Come, can we come hate this together?
Yes.
Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yes. I remember there was like one instance where some woman said, we don't like, and also I want to be clear, these are not statements on behalf of anybody at Black Lady Sketch Show or me. This is just my opinion on a thing that I don't write for anymore because we're on hiatus.
Right.
I'm not there. Who knows what my future looks like. But I just thought that it was really wild because the space for white productions and like white supremacy is internalized even in the wokest of people.
Yes, it is.
Because Euphoria was airing on HBO at about the same time. And I remember somebody wrote on Twitter like a huge thread, and he got so many retweets, and I was just appalled by how popular that thread was, where that person sat down and broke down why we were suburban and not black enough, and how all of the black women on HBO are exactly the same. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that you have watched any of the shows that feature black women on HBO and think that they all the same, because Phoebe is my fucking girl. Phoebe Robinson is my home girl, my sister, my bitch. And I will tell you right away, she don't do black like I do black. Mm-hmm. I love her any fucking way. You know what I'm saying? So for you to even say that a show I wrote on resembles even two dope queens, you're a fucking liar. Right. And then for people to be like, Amanda Seales and Robin Thede, they are such different fucking people. You're a fucking liar. You're a jealous person. And for you to then say that Black Lady Sketch Show and all the black HBO productions are bad, but you love Euphoria. But to say that Black Lady Sketch Show is not realistic and Euphoria is?
Right.
What Euphoria life you live in? What Euphoria life you live in? The first fucking episode, I swear to God, I turned off Euphoria halfway through and then had to go back and rewatch the first episode because they had a black man raping a little white girl. But Black Lady Sketch Show is harmful to black people. Suck my motherfucking dick. You whack bitches. You jealous cunts. I'm sorry, I'm drunker than I ought to be.
Well, you also, this is also the thing that all those black women have in common is that they have a show. So
that's the main problem.
It's so crazy because, like, take a time machine back 10 years and I guarantee that same person is like, why won't people give Issa Rae a show? She has a YouTube series called Awkward Black Girl and it's so good, but these white people don't never see us, blah blah blah. She gets a show, she actually starts producing shit, she starts hiring all black women writers rooms and shit, and it's like, wrong type of blacks. Why do these blacks get a show? I'm like, god damn, what happened? And that's like,
Peep this, they'll be like, oh, Issa Rae is terrible. You know a better Rae? Her name is Rae Sonny. And then when I come out and I'm popping, they're gonna be like, well, I know a Rae Quinisha who's a better Rae than both those Rays. And it's like, fuck y'all.
It's crazy because also the thing too with that is that, they'll throw that extra layer of respectability on it because it's black, but all the time they running behind black freedom this, black joy that, black, like,
but the only liberation that's afforded to anybody, because I don't understand how you're worried about the reputation of the community and then you're excited
shitting,
live tweeting these
shitting
stories
on this stuff
that doesn't make
fuck them being excited about that other shit. Why you gotta take the time out to shit on the other stuff? I wouldn't give a fuck if you really was like, I've seen black shit that I was like, I don't like this. I don't give a fuck if it's black or not.
Agreed.
Like, this just isn't good to me. You know, everyone has those things. But I think it's
a
different type.
There are a lot of things I don't mention, but I will on every occasion take the opportunity to shit on Slave Play. That was a fucking abomination and it was terrible. And I actually saw it. God forgive me. Fuck them niggas. Anyway, but other black
I'm friends with the friend of the person who wrote it. So, if they're listening.
Yeah, I'm friends with a friend of the person who wrote it. I've seen that shit before. Everybody else seen that shit. And it was fucking terrible. And it's okay because I kind of was just like, oh, what was that? And I tried to be patient about it, but then when all of these publications was lying about how much they loved it, then I had to be like, all right, I'm gonna get my Twitter nigga on. I need to tell people this is horrendous. But generally speaking, I don't like to shit on black art that's not actively doing harm. I do think that Slave Play does harm, which is the exception I made for that. Maybe that was a lie. I told myself to feel better about hating on something.
But I think everybody I think everybody is doing that. Like, that's actually low key. I don't like that feeling and I don't like to promote that where it's like, this thing is the exception, because I feel like what happens is when we really don't like something, we elevate the power and significance of it. Most people in our chat room have not heard of Slave Play, right? Most of the people, like, if you walked on the street, man on the street, the black people, hey man, what you think about Slave Play? They'd be like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, right? So it's a small collection of people. What happens is white people in that industry love it and
they've made the conversation a conversation we didn't even want to fucking have.
Right.
It was a conversation maybe not necessarily a playwright want to have. And now our art is filtered through theirs and more often. And then people resent the Black Party for how the white people receive it, right?
Right.
And I think that has a lot.
And so that's why the thing I'm saying too about the even with Slave Play, like it might be. I didn't see it, so it's sure it's horrible. It's terrible. But at the same time,
you don't have to agree. A lot of
This is me.
This is me
conceding that for the part of the argument, right? I don't want to mm-hmm. I'm saying let's concede that it's terrible, all right?
Okay,
I feel like even if it's terrible, it's no, like, it becomes harmful and violent and more stuff to us when we really don't fuck with something, because now people throw that shit on everything they don't fuck with, you know what I mean? It's like it's like they bastardize the strength of those terms, because it's like Black Lady Sketch Show is violent, and I'm like, it's not
violent.
No, it's not,
right?
Like,
it's, yeah, you're like,
you can just Google the definition of that,
right?
Yeah.
you could just go find it. I will say with Slave Play, I went out of my way to not tweet about it.
Yeah, I do that too.
And then I saw all of these reviews about it, and I was like, oh no, this is an alternate reality, because all the reviews were super positive, and they weren't positive like, oh, they countered my anxiety about it. They just acted like the stuff I had a problem with didn't exist.
So it's like the white people, it's like you didn't see Black as Fuck. It's like they have an episode of Black as Fuck where they talk about white critics being afraid to talk shit about Black shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. I see that sometimes.
I felt like it was like that.
Right.
And then I remember tweeting, having read all of these bogus reviews about it, and you know, when Rihanna went to the play, everybody's like, well, then it must be violent.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember specifically tweeting something like, hey, is there anybody who's a Black woman who wants to have an honest conversation with me about Slave Play? And we could talk privately. And I got a couple DMs and I got it out. Because I wasn't going to be out here slaughtering Black art for you to watch me do after the lesson I just fucking learned about y'all slaughtering Black art with Black ladies.
I appreciate that. Because I also think people run with that shit too. And that's another thing I'll never want to be is the Black person they call the shit on the Black thing, because that's a thing too.
Jason Whitlock this shit out here.
Right. I was talking to a friend who he used to really write for some big publications. He's kind of had to like restart his career because he stopped writing for him, because he noticed that he was getting the call to be like, okay, so Kobe died, can you write about his sexual assault? And he's like, when David Bowie died, we didn't write that. So why?
He didn't.
Right. So
and
then
he had a Black wife.
Right. So then why did
he could have asked his Black wife
right.
about his white rape of children, but nobody did.
Right. And so he's like, why are y'all calling me for that? You know, Michael Jackson documentary, they're calling him for that one. But, you know, he's like, you know, why aren't y'all calling me for these other jobs? And he just had an epiphany where he's like, wait, I'm the Black guy who character assassinates Black people because y'all don't want to put your hands on it. You can put my byline. They were changing the headlines to the articles he was writing, all kinds of crazy shit. And so I do like understand that too. I watched something this weekend and I was like, oh, this shit was not good. And I was just like, not talk about it. Like, just like.
I thought you meant like you watched something that had the commentary, but you watched a piece of Black art this weekend.
And I was like, this shit wasn't good to me. Like, it was, and I found out later behind, matter of fact, I can say it because, daughter, like, great, great, great granddaughter.
Somebody said, watched that, Madam CJ Walker show.
Yeah, it was called Self Made. It's on Netflix. It's only four parts. And
you couldn't have told me to watch that, but I wasn't going to tweet about not watching that.
I watched it and it was like four parts and it was rushed, right? And that was my main problem. They had a good cast and all this shit, but it just, you know how when you rush shit so fast, it's like things don't, revelations that are supposed to build are just like, this nigga cheating. You're like, what?
How did we get here?
Like that's crazy. So, what happened was, the great-great-granddaughter of Sarah Bree Love, aka Madam CJ Walker.
Oh, yes.
She wrote something for The Undefeated where she talked about her conflicted feelings of being a part of the promotion of it and not wanting to like speak out against it, but feeling that it wasn't as good as it could have been. And behind the scenes, they stripped.
It's a complicated place to be.
Yeah, and then behind the scenes, they stripped 6 episodes. This shit was supposed to be 10 episodes.
Which would have made more sense.
Right. And so they stripped it down to 4. And so, of course, it didn't turn out.
Wait, come out.
Right.
I am astonished to hear that.
Right.
Because do you know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars are in a 6-episode chunk?
Like, right.
let's grapple with the fact that Netflix might have only given a Black series this limited budget, mm-hmm. to then reduce the budget by 6 whole episodes.
Right.
Holy
so they basically had an impossible job, right? Because you can't.
No, yeah, I would have if I was LeBron, I would have scrapped it.
Right.
That was me. But I mean, I don't have the luxury of LeBron doesn't have the luxury. I'm sitting in my pit talking shit.
And so, but she wrote about all this stuff and how conflicted she felt and stuff. And I read that and I was like, the thing that stuck out to me is that she felt that way the whole time. She had to wait until Memorial Day weekend to finally tell the world.
2 months after the fact.
Yeah, to be like, yo, it's not good, and I do understand, and it's unfortunate. It's not any of the Black people working with this fault, but yeah, they didn't have enough, and so it didn't do my great great grandmother's legacy justice or whatever. And I mean, it was like sad, but it's also like, damn, if they don't sum up every fucking thing we just been talking about, that dichotomy of like, fuck, I want to come out and tell people like this shit ain't good, but then I'm shitting on it, I'm fucking up. And she was like, she was so conscious of it, she said she knew she couldn't say anything because the headlines would have said the ancestor of Madam CJ Walker doesn't approve of this movie, which is something that a lot of people do when Bruce Lee, they wouldn't find like Bruce Lee's great great granddaughter to shit on the Hollywood,
or even MLK's daughters and granddaughters.
Right,
is the one that Fox News loves to throw in front of us.
So mm-hmm. she was so cognizant of it, she kept it to herself, even knowing I don't really approve of this. And then they gave her like script review, not script approval. So she was like, I don't want people thinking I approve of this shit.
Is she a TV person?
I don't think so. But she works works in the hair care industry still, the beauty industry still. She's
wonderful.
Carrying on that legacy. Really, so it was just sad. But anyway, that's what it made me think of. All the shit we've been talking is like, that's it. Like, you can't even fucking say it, but
this
you want
really
to.
Complex place where like you don't want to be the killer of Black art. You don't want to over criticize Black art, but you don't want to under criticize Black art. And then what is Black art anyway?
Right.
Is Black art because the niggas who made it are Black, or is Black art because in a certain tradition, like is Justin Timberlake making Black art?
Right.
Am I making Black art if it's just pure? I don't even know if there's a white music genre that is pure white because they stole it from us all the time. Is yodeling, is Irish river dance Black art? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
it's such a very like complicated place that we're in.
And one thing about it has to have a balance to it, because what are y'all talking about is so complex, because a lot of it is white gaze, and it's just something about white gaze and white eyes
that stresses that niggas out.
Right, and it's a stress, and that comes from white supremacy, and it's one of those things.
And people are more, sorry to cut you off, Karen, I'm gonna let you finish, but people are more responsive to it than they would ever fucking allow themselves to admit.
Right, because the thing is, people say they want diversity and people say they want equality. They don't really want that. All they want is for Black eyes to approve it because they know white people got the money. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to keep that real. Like they just assume that white people got the money. So whatever we do, we have to do it where white people will approve it to give us the money. So then once we get the money, we can quote unquote do what we want to do or have these freedoms. But is that freedom? You know, and that's the real question. And the thing about Black art and what's considered Blackness, the thing is, Black people can write about Black things from their experience, and it's Black art. also, white people can write black art and it's still considered black. Yes. And that's
literally that, every 80s sitcom.
Right. And now that right there blows woke people's minds. They act like that is a foreign concept, because in their mind, everything that a white person writes is evil, is dirty, he's out to kill all the niggas. That's not true.
Yeah.
My thing is that when it comes, it's about creativity. Just because I'm not a part of something does not mean I can't tell that a part or a piece of that story of something that I may or may not have experienced.
Yeah, I think it's funny too, because I remember when Leslie Jones.
Sorry to cut you off, Rod. I just want to celebrate that Karen has finally given me justification enough to love Robin Thicke out loud. That nigga. We back, Robin. Can I handle it? Can I go there, baby, with you?
Come on.
He wrote that one. That's my nigga making the black art with his white ass. Okay, sorry.
I feel like Leslie Jones experienced that, where a lot of black people were, they were like her only audience, and then she was like 50, and it was like, okay, so she's just gonna do this forever, and then boom, SNL happens, and it's like, oh, she's graduating, there was a celebration, and then she does her black ass Leslie Jones shit on SNL,
and niggas
got so uncomfortable. It's like, oh my god, I'm like, y'all know she been making that joke for her whole fucking career? Like, how you gonna take this away from her?
Bruh, do you understand? My family, we didn't get cable till I was about 13 years old. So it was like the summer before September 11th, we got cable, and Comic View was popping.
Yes,
it was like, for me, I was like, oh my god, I shouldn't be watching this. Mommy is sleeping. So I would watch. So when my mom was asleep, me and my brother, we'd be up at 11:30 watching Comic View, and let me tell you, Leslie fucking Jones was on there, her tall ass in a black tank top and denim jeans, and she had relaxed hair. And you know how when back in the day before it was popular to put weaves in, you would wrap your hair so your hair would be flat around on your face.
Yes!
And so she had that, and she was talking about back then how she was a female basketball player and like it was hard to get men or whatever. And it's hilarious because people credit, you know, Chris Rock with getting her on SNL, but if white people didn't approve, Shorty wouldn't have got there.
Right.
Chris Rock is Chris Rock.
Right.
He ain't Lorne Michaels. You understand? Mm. So I'm sure there's other people Chris Rock tried to get on that show. There's other people who didn't get on the show. Shorty got on the show. Mm. She's very talented. She's somebody I will never forget from my growing up. I remember her jokes.
Right.
So Shorty does that bit about, you know, how she hates being single in the present, and that back in slavery days, she would have been the baddest bitch. Right? That was the bitch.
Right.
Yes.
And I thought it was fucking brilliant because it called our black asses out and it called white people out.
Yep.
You breeded us. You made it us. You made us light skin. You did this to us. Now we have all these colorism issues or whatever. And black people, look at you. You would have thought a bitch like me was fine, but you let this hate get to you.
Right.
Let's talk about it. And it's turned, I remember specifically, I remember this, what's her name? Shorty's Jamila Lemieux was out here trying to trash Shorty to the end.
I remember that, and I was like,
look at you, pretty light-skinned bitch, and telling fucking Leslie Jones she can't tell this joke, can't talk about her actual relationship to beauty standards and her own slave ancestry.
Right.
You whack for that. And then all I could think about was, you care about this because you care, but white people
saw it on SNL. She been saying it.
You are just as obsessed with what white people think of you as you claim everybody else to be. Not personally. I don't know Jamila or whatever.
Right.
But I just remember drawing that conclusion from the conversation.
It was a lot. It was a lot of chicks that did that.
Yeah,
like, I remember there was a woman that got mad.
Felt like they were predominantly light skinned.
I know there was another.
It was light skinned, bougie black people having that conversation.
There was another one.
These dark, tall ass.
There was another one that did the same thing, same type of chick. When she got the job for the Ghostbusters movie,
I was gonna bring that up.
Why she got to work for the MTA? Why she can't be a scientist? And Leslie Jones is like,
some niggas work for the MTA. Right. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. That's
and then, the same and then also like
TV, we really like that.
Also, the thing that would have been bullshit is how they would have rejected the fuck out of her the second she started talking about ectoplasm and blah blah blah, spitting out lines that don't look.
She's not black enough.
Right. Then it would have been like, yeah, she. It would have been like, well, why they do this to her character? Why couldn't she just be herself?
But here's the thing: they didn't do that to Winston the first time around,
right?
Because women are subject to a special kind of criticism that right. other people don't get. Because I want to know, this is not me causing shit, because, well, I have a complicated relationship with his art, but I want to know why Donald Glover can go in and out of community in Atlanta, but if it's in Yvette Nicole Brown tried to do some shit like that, mm-hmm. it would probably be a conversation.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of stuff where men have a certain level of privilege with this shit. Like, yeah. it's that yes, thing where we do. Talked about
they
on
absolutely.
The we talk
men
about,
get to be Obama, but women don't get to right. be Obama. Women have to be like, oh, I'm a nigga.
Pick a side.
Like,
right. Like, yes. we did the same thing with, we talked about on the show a couple years ago when people were throwing around, like, Donald Glover is a genius. And I'm not taking that away from him. I think his
no,
art
is. I hated that. I was very angry about that because. That felt to me like condescending white people deciding, here's a black person who reflects an aesthetic that feels white, and so now we're going to beat you over the head with the notion that he's a genius, which isn't to say he isn't,
right?
But it felt like a
right. And I agree. Not just that with white people, though. I think even with black people, right? It's a thing where we call a man a genius. Especially if they're flawed.
But we never get right. Erykah Badu that.
We don't do that for, like, yeah, especially, and I think a lot of times we do it to justify the flaw. So it's like, yeah. like, okay, I still yep. like this
oh,
person. This person does horrible
R.
shit.
R.
Right.
Kelly's a genius.
Kanye's a genius. You know, like,
yeah,
people,
but Beyonce's not a genius.
Cause she
Rihanna's
don't ever do,
not a genius.
They never do horrible genius. Shit. Yeah. So we don't ever have to justify, like, in Beyonce and call her anything. Cause, like, she never would even do some horrible shit in the way that we allow men to do.
Okay. And now, wouldn't that be hilarious now? I would love to see, God forgive me, this is not a good thing to wish for, but if it came out Beyonce was touching children, I would love to see black children's response to it.
I don't want to see it.
No, I don't want to see it, actually.
Yeah.
But I would love to engage with, in a hypothetical world, what that would do to our brains. Because there is there are so many expectations that are unfair and unkind to all of us black people. And then you have various, you know, deviations from what is, like, perfect, right? And look, Beyonce spent how many years trying to be perfect? We have 25, 20 at this point, yeah? And R. Kelly only had to do I Believe I Could Fly. That was it. That's the one. There are other ones that keep us around. But I Believe I Could Fly got us there, and Beyonce, there's nothing that a black woman, in my opinion, could do that one song that can make us forgive her for all kinds of sexual
abuse. Because when it comes down to it, men can be forgiven, women are not to be forgiven. And that's something that people don't want to talk about.
Well, it depends. That's
also frustrating, because then it makes us have to contend with each other. Now I'm resentful of you, black man, because you getting away with shit that my black female ass can't get away with, but it was white people who made it the problem in the first fucking place.
And I think what's wild is that what's substituted for redemption and forgiveness for black women is this other thing of being like, that's where the stand shit comes from. It's like, well, what we'll do is everything they did was right. So you can never take it away.
It's the reverse.
If somebody fucks up, there's like a whole hive of people out there to be like, they fucking up. But there's a whole nother other people. I was like, nope, that's not fucked up when she does it, you know, like, so I think that's the result.
Yes, but then now we've dehumanized her
right.
on both levels, even
yep.
in support, right?
Yep.
Like Doja Cat, which she did very, very horrible shit, right. unforgivable shit this weekend. Mm-hmm. But it was just astonishing to me. Like, I remember, like, when the first kind of homophobic shit came around, Grace from Will and Grace was shitting on Shorty.
Right.
And I'm like, you are fucking Grace.
Right.
On Will and fucking grace. But I've never heard of Deborah Messing shitting on like a Snoop Dogg or like sitting on a Jay-Z. We sort of just accept white people's projections onto us. And which isn't to say that we all do. I don't want to speak for other black people, but I've noticed that we don't get leeway the way that y'all men get leeway. Yeah. Now you got to answer for all y'all fucking niggas.
Well, first of all, y'all females, a lot of times get carried away. Not that, but what's wild is like, even when, Lana Del Rey went off, she named all these black women artists and shit. No, you know, like, there is like this weird thing where like, I think.
Expectation of us to be better than everybody else and to carry on the betterment of society. Right. Okay. Now that black women have admitted that they can sometimes be in toxic relationships, let's celebrate my toxicity. No, bitch. Help us try to save black women, you cunt.
Also, what are you talking about? It's also wild because, like, I think that's what I heard Kamala Harris, too, was like, she didn't get to be flawed. Like, and then, like, people thought they were.
You think Cory Booker's good on cop relations?
Come on.
You think you get to be a fucking Cory Booker being good to criminals?
None of them do.
You think Obama was the best on fucking crime relations? Like,
well, I'll give you a perfect example. I'll give you a perfect example. Eric Holder. We still hold Eric Holder in high esteem.
And even white people hold Loretta Lynch to a standard they never held Eric Holder to. I mean, you know, they all blame this Hillary Gate, whatever, Benghazi collusion, whatever, because Loretta Lynch was seen talking to Bill Clinton. Is there a photo of Eric Holder with Bill Clinton? I bet you there is. If there's a photo of Eric Holder talking to Hillary Clinton, I bet you there is. And Eric Holder, this nigga has been a prosecutor the whole time, just like Loretta Lynch. At least Loretta Lynch is a Delta. Eric Holder is a Bahamian, nigga. Get the fuck out of here.
Like, that's
crazy. Eric Holder is a foreign black person, but Loretta Lynch, you would have thought, you would have thought she fucked up everybody's kids. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's the thing, man. Like, and what's weird to me is seeing black people that don't get the jig, because a lot of times they're the ones responsible for setting that tone, right? They make it so you can disrespect Kamala Harris. They make it.
So now we dragging Joe Biden, although he was a cunt for it. Right. I was mad by people's equivocating about it. There was a Jemele Hill tweet, and I was like, shorty, you ain't got to do this one. This one you ain't got to do. But, like, okay, so now you ain't black. All these people on Twitter, all these black folks on Twitter are going in extra, and now Trump is selling a t-shirt.
Right.
It's stuff like that. If you want to talk about people thinking we stupid and we go along with any trend or whatever, it's Republicans who think the worst of us every time, think the worst of our intellect every fucking time. And like you said, we set the tone on that conversation because we have in private conversations and mixed companies often, especially in social media.
What's crazy is the people that tweet shit like, I don't want any white people to say anything about this, but I'm about to say, and I'm like, nigga, they don't respect you. They don't how many years of this do you have to go through before you like, maybe I just shouldn't say it here, because they don't respect. That's why I save shit for the podcast, because it's like, and this is a platform where I know white people won't come in and interrupt the shit. Like, we can have this conversation.
Interrupt you like I have been doing this.
But that's a more safer place to have that. You can't have that fucking, and that's also because them niggas feel like they do have to explain blackness to everybody all day. They end up in them impossible situations of like, let me explain to you guys why it's not okay what Biden said, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that. I'm like, no, nigga, just do what I do. I don't fuck with Dominic Silk. So anything that insults them, I'm not gonna hop in it. It don't matter.
Exactly. That shit can sink.
I don't even know what he could say. I don't know what a fucking white person could say about Dominic Silk that would really make me step up. I've thought about it long and hard and been like, I would let it slide. It would go unaddressed.
Here's the thing, though. If there are individual people, right? Like, you would have to, like, hang Candace Owens and then drag her from the back of her truck for me to be like,
yeah, it would have to be so bad. Right.
Yeah. Well, y'all like, taking this too far.
I'm like, okay, guys, that's enough.
But the problem for me that exists with a thing like that is that when you set things up at such extremes, you can't have a conversation, a real life conversation.
Right. And that's the way it's designed.
It's so frustrating. So, like, when Joe Budden, I think Joe Budden and Joe Biden are equally bad, to be honest with you.
Right.
And actually, I might think Joe Budden is worse. In fact, I know I think Joe Budden is worse. Mm. But so the Jemele Hill thing I had a problem with was because there is such an obligation to be the black person who makes the case for why it's okay black people do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, you know, what he said was accurate. And I'm like, no, it wasn't accurate.
Mm-hmm.
What he said was stupid, but it wasn't stupid in a way that was impactful to this race. But we exist in a polarized world where I can't put out a tweet, Joe Biden said something dumb, but it's not impactful to the race. I have to say, it was totally fine what this nigga said.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to say, he is a rapist du jour.
Right.
My favorite rapist on the planet.
Right.
Like, I don't... And this is my frustration with fan culture, stan culture, I think, more often than not.
Which is infiltrated politics, by the way. But go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, which is embarrassing. I remember specifically asking my friend who was super, super pro Bernie, and I said to him, I said, Mike, you are a stand-up comedian. You don't work for Bernie Sanders' campaign. Why is his name in your Twitter bio? And right. Not even on some trying to depress Bernie support. I was an Elizabeth Warren supporter. But I just wanted to understand how we have gotten to a place where a politician is emblematic of my identity, literally my biography. The space for my story about myself is a person who isn't me. You people are fucking crazy. I don't give a fuck who it is, where it is, why it is, how it is. You are letting a person whose job is to sort of have the right idea about something, but leave room to be swayed depending on popular opinion. Right. You want that person to be definitive of who you are? You're sick. Right. Get help. You're crazy.
Yeah, I think
I just don't understand how we got here.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Well, I think with the stan culture shit and the online, like, polarization, that's how you end up there, where it's like everything they did is great, everything, you know. And like, the other thing too is I know Jemele Hill don't fuck with Joe Biden like that. Like, she don't, like, she's criticized him and all that shit before. It's just when you're in a position of
why did we have to jump out and
right say that's what I'm saying, when you're
acceptable was acceptable, that's
when you're
crazy.
In the position of the black person that explains shit to white people, the pressure of having to always be that person gets to folks. And I think that's how she ended up explaining it. Like, cause what we're not seeing is her mentions where it's like, oh, so you're just not going to say anything about this shit over and over. And so, you know, she writes for the fucking Atlantic.
Yeah,
like, at some point,
like, she has to respond.
She going to say, you know, we've had this conversation, me and you, and been like, you know, you don't have to tell these niggas shit, right? You can just, like, continue to cash a check and fuck them. Like, don't let them, they don't like it, you still get paid. And you're like, nah, but I want to say this. So I want to do, and I think that happens no matter how big you are, no matter how famous you are.
Right.
Somebody like Jemele Hill going to end up in a situation where she has to explain, like, this is why it's not offensive, is because many, many, many black people think if you fuck with Trump and you're black, you ain't really black. And she ain't lying, but I just wouldn't tell nobody that. That's
right.
All like you.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I wouldn't tell
like,
nobody.
Why
that.
Are we out here like this?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'll save it for here, because I'm like, these niggas ain't gonna listen to this. But yes, no, absolutely, if they fuck with Trump, I don't fuck with them.
Uninterrupted and unfiltered, right. And I don't necessarily have to misinterpret tone via text and language.
Right.
Because, I mean, like I said, when he said that shit, you know what I said? Why did you go on there? That's the only thing I said, was I was like, it always ends up like this.
Do you remember? Listen. When Elizabeth Warren went on that show, was it last year? Yes. I said, I remember I spent all day arguing on Twitter. I said, if you niggas don't vote for Elizabeth Warren because Charlamagne told you that she was Pocahontas, I will never fuck with you again.
He called her Rachel Dolezal, dog. Like,
he called her Rachel Dolezal.
Come on.
Like, listen, we just, listen, I will admit my blind spot. I ain't native. So Elizabeth Warren didn't harm Rafa Atsani directly. If native people don't forgive her or will never forgive her, who am I to say a single fucking thing about it? And you could call me a hypocrite. I will talk through my reasons with you. And if you still leave thinking I'm a hypocrite, God bless you. That's yours to have.
I don't even know how you could be a hypocrite. I don't even know how you could be a hypocrite if you're gonna vote for Joe Biden, because that's us being like, this is a thing that harmed us, and we're like, but we understand the context of everything now, and we're willing for the greater good of everybody, not just us, to let the shit go.
The stakes are less specific, yeah. Exactly. And here we are. Listen, here's a man who named his book Black Privilege. Okay, I can admit this now because it's years on. There was a weekend, like, he had said some really like foul shit, like about trans people on his TV show. And when I was on the president's show, we were supposed to have Charlamagne on the show, and we had DeRay on instead, because in part, I won't say it was my decision, in part, I told my bosses, I was like, if y'all have Charlamagne on this show after this, you know, transphobia shit and whatever, I'm gonna be the only black female on your staff, and I'm gonna not be proud that I'm here.
Right.
And so we ended up not getting him or whatever. And I just want to understand how that person gets to be the kingmaker. Right. I want to understand how that person, who has not ever had our best interest in mind, he truly has a book called Black Privilege. And do you remember one time he told us it was okay for Justin Bieber to call us nigga because we say it?
Right.
I want to understand how that person gets the first interview with black people besides Jesus. Mm-hmm. With Joe Biden. Right. I want to understand how Hillary's hot sauce has anything to do with that. I want to understand how the nigga gets to cancel Kamala Harris.
Right.
When he told me Justin Bieber could call me a nigga because I say nigga at home.
Right.
Get the whole fuck out of here.
Yeah, I think that's also the thing. Like, who selects that person, right? That's why... it's like, who gets in the door? Who gets to be the black kingmaker?
White men. So, in addition to whatever problems white men have, white men love a cool black dude. Right. They don't have to compromise much of their identity to get the coolness rubbed off on them. In particular, I just remember how Ari Melber was the person who was interviewing him when he got protested by all those trans women at, was it Grassroots Nation? I don't remember what thing it was on. But it was just kind of like, men, regardless of race, is just my opinion, men will always bond over having dicks and wanting to violate people who don't. And Charlamagne is a perfect example of that. He literally started his career making Lil Mama cry when her mama had just died of cancer. Right. And if you think that that is a person who legitimately has our back,
I think also white dudes like black people that make them feel cool, right? Because it's like
make them feel cool and regurgitate fucked up opinions they have about us.
It's just justifying this, you know. So it was, but yeah, like that was the like I don't even blame him. That like straight up, I no animosity, no, whatever.
He's
the
just
fuck,
doing his job.
That is what he do. Like that's literally on the campaign for that. Like that's the mistake that was made. Like. A viral soundbite is what happens when people go on that fucking show trying to talk about policy. We done had 4 or 5 different examples at this point. We got Rachel Dolezal, Hot Sauce, Cop Mala, didn't listen. She smoked weed. She lied about that.
Yeah, now we debating on whether or not Tupac was born in 1970.
Right.
It's insane.
So we end up with that shit. And that's not, so like, that's on the campaign for that shit. So I don't
wait,
even.
I realized that I've just been super negative about a bunch of people. So I want to be clear to be also positive about people. I love me some Robin Thede. Mm-hmm. I love this woman who works on MSNBC called Christina Greer. I listen to The Read. I listen to you guys or whatever. I just wanted to make
I love
sure
Robin.
I,
we love Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke is back at the cookout.
Okay,
don't forget him.
I love Robin Thicke as well. So I love Soraya McDonald. She got herself a little Pulitzer nomination pretty recently. I don't want it to seem like I'm purposely on y'all's platform to shit on other black people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want it to come off like I'm a certain kind of black, whatever. I just, you know, I love black people. So.
Me too. No, it's all good.
We know you do.
I don't think you came off like that, but, mm-mm, you know, it's good to check because these niggas will be mad if they ever hear this out of context. That's what happens.
And Lawrence is fine as fuck from Insecure. Good God. Mm-hmm. Good God.
Did you see him with the haircut? You see him with the haircut in the airport this week?
Yes.
No. Oh, wait till you get to all this star week.
Mm. Oh, am I going to be in trouble? Are my pants going to be ruined?
I don't know. I mean, I think.
Oh, it's tall, handsome ass.
I mean, I think with everybody being in quarantine and with people not even being able to get to a barber and all this shit. I think it was my girl Queen from Tiva Queen and Jay. She was like, this is just the Rona making us thirst over people harder, because she was like, don't be fooled, Lawrence got an edge up and nobody else do right now. Oh, that shit was funny.
Fair enough. But fair enough. I peeped it. There's, you know, whenever a black man on TV got a nice, you know,
it is
whatever.
I feel like barbers and people that's been cutting their own hair got an advantage right now in the Rona, because mm-hmm, it's like, look at this motherfucker, boy, you looking great. It's like, yeah, everybody else got to put a hat on.
Come on.
Yep. No, I'm out here with this like headband shit, whatever. I literally just cut my dress to hide my edges to talk to y'all. Like,
I love you for saying that your hair and stuff was growing out. I love it.
My hair is growing out right now. I've been telling people that I have enough hair to put extensions into cornrow it, like the cast of Making a Band, but pretend that I don't cornrow it like the cast
okay
of Making a Band. So
progress.
I'm here looking like a rapper who try to front like he has to put some weave in his cornrows. Like we out here.
What if that's the effect this the coronavirus has on black population? Is everybody emerges with like afros and beautiful natural hair and shit? It's like, oh, if we just had nothing else to do, we could have fucking did it. We could have grown this shit.
We would love ourselves. Yeah. We would love ourselves if white people just left us alone, told us to stay in the house. We'd love ourselves. No, seriously, I'm having such a. I know we should go because we out here almost at 4 hours. I apologize, but like, I'm in a weird place right now because for the last 2 years, I've been rocking a low fade, designs, mm-hmm, and everything like. So this is me not having cut my hair since December. Mm-hmm. And one, I love how it's still not long because I'm African and I have no hang time. Look at this 4CS shit. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to fucking, I can't shake anything ever.
You just got to put them that glycerin
never,
in there.
I'm never going to accidentally get into a fight with a woman on the train because I keep whipping her with my hair when I turn to the left or the right. I want that fight. Oh, I'm never gonna have this. Fucking kinky ass fucking.
We're so off topic at this point, but it just made me think of something else. Have y'all seen the videos of the women that are accidentally, quote unquote, hitting their man with their purse in the car?
What is that?
Like, the man is sitting in a passenger seat and the women record themselves from the front seat and they take the purse and they hit him upside the head with it when they're putting it in the back seat. And they like,
oh, that's hysterical. The man is like, what? He's like, what is
right. That was like, and if they don't get him, like, if the first time he's like super cool about it where it's like he don't even notice it, they hit him like two or three times, man, till they be like, what? Oh, why?
Is it like those secret rebellions?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can't escape the situation, but you take your little powers in the
I don't know time. When this started. Yeah. I'm assuming these are people. It seems to be people in good, happy relationships, I assume, because right. Who would try this with some nigga that you think is violent, right? But, like, they hit the dude.
Maybe not violent. But controlling a little bit.
Maybe they just told you
that you couldn't be on the phone with your homeboy after a certain time. So
okay.
Now you buckling the baby in and you just happen to bring your
maybe look. I don't know them people. Maybe every single last dude on there deserves it. I don't give a fuck. What I do find is that it's so awkwardly like funny or whatever. But my favorite is the one dude gets hit in the face and he got hit in the face like three times and he's just like trying to be on his phone and he finally just looks up. He goes, "Are we good? Like,
is everything okay? Like, we need to talk.
Like, what the fuck, y'all?" like three times in the head feels like I did something wrong. I don't know what I did. Like, I don't know. Those videos crack me up.
Like, can you explain, ma'am?
But also, those are perfect examples of videos that wouldn't be funny the other way, right? It's like, this is hilarious.
No, absolutely.
It's hilarious now, but it's like, if niggas was slapping women for the camera, like, no, we can't watch this. This is turn this, report this to the police. So, but yeah.
Listen, I just want to be clear that whenever people accuse me of having double standards, I go, Yeah.
Life everybody does. Yeah,
life is a double standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, no, truly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all
like. Yeah, my mom can call me an asshole, and if you call me an asshole, we gonna have a problem.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck to tell you. That's just a double standard. Right. I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
I say pay women 100% what a man makes, and then we can start talking about them standards. You know,
have the conversation. Exactly. What you mean? I asked you on a date, nigga. Yeah, I asked you on a date hoping you would pay for it because I asked my boss for a raise and the nigga didn't give it to me. So we asking.
We ain't getting. Yeah, people, why I got to pay? Because you make more money, my nigga. You make more money.
Exactly. It's really crazy. And I'm not even like just saying that like for a joke. Like, it'd be really crazy. I have a lot of low self-esteem issues, like, in general, but then there's so much other shit compounded on top of that, mm-hmm. and not even on some, like, oh, my manager and people don't fight for me because they do, but, like, I'll hear about deals that other TV writers have got or, you know, how much they push somebody to push their album out early or something like that, and I'm like, you asked them for that? And they'll be like, yeah, that's like, what the fuck? What you mean? Like, I've been collecting $600 extra a week for 6 years. And I'm going to be like, what? And you don't have to pay them back? That's not. Like, I have no concept of right. deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when people offer women for free, I will take, because I probably would never see whatever thing that is unless I hear that other people have asked for, because it wouldn't even occur to me to have the self-esteem to decide that I deserve something and should go after. It's actually wild that I'm even, you know, as successful as I am, because there's literally no self-esteem points.
But you know what's crazy though, you knowing you for this long or whatever, you also put so much pressure on yourself. So like, you'll straight up be on some like, if I don't have blank by the time I'm 30, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. And in my mind, I'm like, 30 is so fucking young. Like, it's like, I was talking to my therapist and she was like, she said I was a perfectionist, and I was like, the fuck? No, I'm not. Like, I let shit slide some about, and then she started breaking down, like, well, you said this, and you said this, and you talk about being disappointed in yourself, you talk about people being disappointed in you. That only happens if you're thinking there's a level of perfection or something out there you can attain where all this goes away. And that's not true. And she's like, you know, your work, it's this, you're always thinking of the things you can control in your work, the things you can control, instead of like pushing for these outside of stuff and asking for more than like you said, than I think I quote unquote deserve. But yeah, if you look around, dog, we did that article about them white podcasters, and I was like, these niggas get money. Like, they get money, they look at the money and be like, this all the money? That's it? Fuck you, I'm going home.
Not more. Yes. It's really crazy because I totally feel you on that. And I'm sure, Karen, you can relate on a woman level too, because you are, not only do you have this innate kind of perfectionist thing in you, but when you're a woman, you kind of learn that it's impolite to want better for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you learn that it's like, you have to sit there and it's rude to think that you deserve more, even as you deserve more.
Yeah. And I think what I've learned, and I'm still getting better at this, but what I've learned about getting older is that you have to break the chains of what defines being a woman. Because everybody has these things drilled in them from a very young age about what a being a woman is.
It's just like sitting back here all the fucking time, and it'll come up randomly. Right. I'll be like, I didn't know I thought that. Yeah.
Right. And that's very hard to do, you know, because if I ask, I'm rude. You know, if I demand, I'm rude. If I do this, I'm a bitch. If I
you're
do this,
bitch.
I'm
no,
nasty.
No, you're not just rude. You're a bitch. You're a cunt.
Right.
You're
right.
The, you're,
you know, if you do.
You're uppity.
Right.
All
if you do all these things, all of a sudden it becomes a problem. And I think for me personally, us doing this and actually starting our own business helped my mind kind of expand, because I've always been a dreamer. Like, I kind of go, okay, these
blue
are,
sky, you're a blue sky person. I love
you.
You
know, I always am. And I'm the type of person where I'm always quote unquote in the clouds. I'm like, okay, these things are possible. These things are possible. But the thing is, I always have those wishes and dreams and hopes for everybody else. These things are possible for you. You go, I am very good at pushing other people to be the best version of themselves. But when it comes to me, sometimes that's very hard, because I'm like you. It's like,
who taught you that? Who taught you to support instead of chase? Because I also feel like I learned to support instead of chase. And my mom is an artistic genius, and she never chased. She just supported my daddy, who, I love him, ain't as dope. Who taught you to support and not chase? Was it a girl? Or was it a man? Was it a girl who had internalized that? Or was it a man who had crushed all of y'all females? Women.
For me, it was just part of my personality of not wanting to disrupt the room, because I was brought up very old school of children were meant to be seen and not heard. I hate that fucking phrase, but a lot of people believe that.
Do you have any boy children in your life though? Because I learned children are not supposed to be seen. Children are not supposed to be seen and not heard. And then my brother was heard, even though I wasn't supposed to be heard. So then I started talking, and then it became cool. But I was told girls weren't supposed to talk, and then I saw boys talk, and I was like, well, that's not fair. So who told you that as a child? Because I'm sure if there was a man around or a boy child around, he probably got to talk even when they told you he wasn't supposed to be talked.
But see, I think with me being an only child, I've never, my
you're only. Yeah. Apologies. I just projected much onto you.
No. I've had male cousins and things around me, and they got to speak out. They got to be demanding. But I always looked at it as they're just being boys, if that makes sense. And I thought for me, you know, that wouldn't be quote unquote ladylike. But you know what's so weird?
You internalize these things.
Yes. But what's weird is that as I've gotten older, I began to be more aggressive, because I was the one that pursued Roderick. you know, so on certain things, you know.
Okay, bitch. Go get your nigga. Go get your nigga. Wait, come on. I have never chased anybody who wanted to stay chased. Listen, you in a whole marriage. Every nigga I've chased has left.
That left you. It was one of those things where I went, I like him. I like him a lot. I hope it goes somewhere. And I remember this, my mama, she had two tickets to some play. This is way before Tyler Perry, but it was like a Beauty Shop too. I remember that. And
me. Tell me. Like the movie?
No, the play.
It was a play. It was a play. I don't know.
So it was a play before the movie.
I don't know if this related at all. I just know that that was the name of the play.
Yeah, that was the name of the play. Okay. Like, we went to like a movie theater and we got to sit and watch and all that stuff.
How old were y'all? Because I know you guys have been together a long time.
16.
Wait, so you was chasing niggas at 16? What? Oh my God! Wait, come on. Can you imagine being 16 and being like, "But I know my pussy's good. What's up?" Like, I'm 32 and I'm like, it's juicy some days, but terrible.
It's juicy some days. You know, it was one of those things where, because the thing about Roderick is that me and him have actually been riding the bus together. We used to sit in the front seat right behind the bus driver. And
Both
dweebs. Yeah, because I would sit right behind the bus driver, and I would save a spot for him every single side. You knew not to sit there. That was his spot. So me and him, we would sit there and we would just talk about all these different types of things. And the thing is, what was funny is that when me and Roderick talked on the phone, we always picked up, regardless of how long it was, like the conversation never ended. You know, our parents have to rush us off the phone, you know, so it was one of those things. And I think for me, when I realized that Roderick actually listened to me, because I talked a lot, but most people didn't listen to me. They was like, if you don't shut the hell up, you know, for real, they was like, you still talking? Like, I have literally taught people to sleep and they will be sleeping. I wouldn't give a damn. I would just keep talking to them because I had to talk. I was one of them kids that you just wanted to take some duct tape and put it around her mouth and be like, please, baby, please, please, baby, be quiet. We've heard enough of your voice today. I was one of them kids.
That is fucking hysterical.
Yes, my mama would tell you, Lord have mercy, Karen, you would talk anybody to death. I was like, I probably would if you allowed me to.
That is so funny. That is incredibly sweet. I love this story. So what now? We had 20 years or something like this?
I don't know. I don't.
Let's see. So we've been dating 20... No. We've been dating like 25, 26 years. And because like... I think
shut up April you the, know 25 years is young enough for people to be remaking movies and you out here older than that. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and I think we got married in September 2002. So
Avalon SB.
Wait, yeah. Okay, I have a question because you guys, this is very rude, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. You guys clearly aren't having children, so it wasn't a shotgun wedding. Why'd you get married so young?
Oh, because Karen's mom was just super pressed about getting her out of the house for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, y'all niggas is still from North Carolina.
Yeah. I don't even know why, though. It was just like, I don't know, because she was a year behind me in college, so it was like, I was working my first job, which wasn't a lot of money, and I was staying with my parents. And then she got home and we were trying to save up money that summer and waiting for her to get a job, but she was working as a waitress at like Shoney's or something. And then her mom just started tripping, like just out of nowhere. And it was like, well, I don't, you know, because I'm like listening to Karen talk about it every day. I was like, well, you sound miserable. We might as well just move in together and be broke together, and at least we won't be miserable. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did.
It's so that's so, it's like a forced sweetness, but it's very sweet. But I also understand the pressure, and it's weird because your mom thinks that they want the best for you, that, you know, they need to make sure that a man values you. Like, mm-hmm. I remember like I had gotten sexually assaulted in college, and like I got sexually assaulted and the person left me with an STD. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a lot to say in public, but it's what happened. And my mom was consoling me, and she told me that I was a dented can that nobody was gonna want, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And that's just, and that sticks with you.
And they think they're helping because they're your parent, and they feel like they're helping you through this thing. But
she really thought like, hey, get rid of that. It was HPV, guys, nothing crazy, just a little warp, you know. But like, she was really nervous because she's a Nigerian woman born in the 50s. Your virginity and your purity was all that mattered. So here she was trying to help me understand. And she Muslim on top of that. She was here trying to understand, help me regain a sense of value. Right? But, okay, now Rod has to marry you. Rod has to move you in. Rod has to marry you. But in that pressure that's applied, making you feel like nothing in the meantime.
Well, was, first of all, obviously, you know, I've said it before, but obviously, sorry that that happened to you. It's terrible.
No, I'm over it, and I just talk about it casually, but I realize that other people, when they encounter me talking about it, they're like, hey, nigga, I just heard you got raped for the first time. But really, I promise, every time.
Yeah, I always feel,
I'm not sad.
Yeah, I always feel obligated to say it because I always, like, we've talked about it before, but just people listening out there in the world will be like, these niggas didn't even say shit.
They so insensitive.
She really said that. They just moved on. I'm like, guys,
they act like nothing happened.
Let's move on. Oh, yeah. Rape is so casual, and it not is. Casual. It really is. Yeah, but it is. Really, if 25% of the female population is experiencing something, it ain't a conversation stopper.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just hate that. It is a conversation stopper because now we get obsessed with the thing that happened rather than the correction. Because now everybody's sitting here. I mean, I could go on forever about how I've tried to do rape jokes on stage and niggas won't laugh at me because they're obsessed with my victimhood when I'm on the other side.
Right.
I'm on the joke telling side or something.
Right.
But you're looking at my physical body and telling me that it's been violated and you living in that violation rather than engaging with me as the human who's over it so I could joke about it.
Like, you can't even say it about your own experience. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hello?
But yeah,
anyway, go ahead, what were you saying?
But I was gonna say, it was like she just started adding like all these weird like money things to everything, like pay for this and do this and just shit that she hadn't been doing before, and it made it so it was like, let's just move in. But we got like literally we had got engaged in college
because
I was like, I know I'm gonna marry you, so it's just a matter of when we can do it or whatever. So then we that week was Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So like we went, did all the stuff for the apartment, got our move-in date or whatever, and I want to say we moved in that, was it Sunday or Monday or something?
Mm-hmm. And we actually tried to get married then, and they was like, no, nigga, you need
it's the weekend, you need witnesses.
Yeah,
all
you need witnesses. Like, y'all need somebody. Y'all can't just walk up in here and get married.
So we actually got married on Labor Day. We got married on Labor Day, and that's how, and we didn't have a wedding, any of that shit. We just came to work, and people was like, why are you wearing a wedding band?
Yes,
and
I was like, you got married?
Got married over the weekend. They're like, you're not even gonna tell anybody? I was like, well, first of all, I don't even fuck with y'all like that. y'all are coworkers. But then, yeah, that was the story.
Yeah, and Ray Sandy, to give you a backstory, as I got older and me and my mama began.
I love that you call me Ray Sandy and I just Ray.
Sorry, my computer's acting up.
It's like, I love to hear from you, Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes, you are amazing. You are so sweet, Karen. I love it. I love it. Your smile is perfect. It's really rude. I'm jealous. Because I had braces, but my teeth were like, hey, fuck your retainer. And so here we are. Your smile is so beautiful, and you bring you. Joy. I love it. Sorry, anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's cool. As I got older and me and my mama talked, I kind of pieced together why my mama, she's really old school as far as the non-emotional type of person. You know, she didn't tell me she loved me till I was much older, because she wasn't that touchy-feely type of person. And what was happening is that in her mind, she thought she was losing me. Because I'm older now, so now I can reflect back and see. Yeah. So in her mind, she...
If you don't mind me asking, has she had, like, a full life or, like, a family before you came around?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
You were, like, her second adulthood or whatever?
Yeah,
or like...
because the woman I call my mama isn't my mama. She's my aunt. And so,
she had had a life and then came in.
Yeah, and so when she got me, 9 months old, so she got me when she was 40. So it was like a 40-year-old basically having another child.
Oh, yeah, got it.
So she she literally raised me. So I was the last one. And so, in her mind, she felt like she was losing me, if that makes sense. And so she didn't respond very well to that.
And I'm sure that if you're older and you lose a child, quote unquote, it's scarier because you can't go build a new third life after the second one.
Right.
And plus, once your girl with me, it's over. Okay. So that was the other thing too. I was like, it's a wrap.
Oh, she's not coming. Is sitting on this thing. She ain't never going home. Okay?
I think she thought she was teaching. That's the lesson. I was like, no, she never coming back. You just fucked up.
Your girl chose me.
Mm-hmm. You know the rules of the game.
For real, ass Puff Daddy. Somebody in the chat.
I came in the house. You a rest haven for hoes. But it worked out for the best anyway, man.
It did.
But yeah, it was definitely a weird time there. All right, listen. We have
Look, I'm so sorry that I have held, like, I didn't even think I would be talking to you for 10,000 hours.
It's all good. Look, we enjoy.
My throat is hurting, and I gotta go write some shit. But I truly probably could talk to y'all for like 2 more fucking hours.
Wow, we enjoy talking with you, Ray.
Yes!
I know it's been a long, rambling, like, just conversational episode.
I'm wondering if, like, because I have been secretly, well, maybe not so secretly, I've been sucking on my vape pen this whole time, but, like, I'm nervous that I said things that didn't make sense. You went on tangents and ain't go anywhere.
I mean, I think we can all just all foul all of this under the complexity of blackness. I feel like there were several times where we were on one side of a thing, and then like some nigga we didn't like come up, and we on the other side of the thing. I feel like,
well, not we, me, some nigga Rafa didn't like came up.
I'm just trying to join you in this, okay? I'm not gonna be one of those black men that leave black women out by themselves. No, I allowed it. It was on our platform, and we in this shit together, sister. So if they coming after you, they coming after us. Okay, we both cancel.
Close that third eye.
Look at me pretending like I didn't ask for this solidarity you showed me, and I threw it away the minute it showed up. Listen,
come on.
I'm sick too, my nigga.
when they do the Rafa Sani is over party, they gotta put me in the hashtag and Karen, okay? the chat room, y'all coming to chat room, we all getting canceled over this shit.
Yeah, you know we got the black guy who tips bump, so all that means is that you ain't got no choice but to go up.
I know we never making it to the white podcast money though, cause Charlamagne is definitely over there. And he knows.
There's only room for one. It's a woman and a man. It's Charlamagne and Candace. I don't think it's an accident. They both start with C for cool. So what are we doing here?
We definitely not making it.
They gonna cross us off the list.
Barstool gonna get that call like, not those niggas. No.
You don't want them.
All right, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow talking more podcast shit. I know it's
some... Deliberation, that's the name of my challenge podcast, The Deliberation. Love it. Listen, 5-star podcast. I fucking love these two people. Aww. You probably love them too if you hear my drunk ass saying this right now. So Love us all too. Make them your faves on everything. And listen.
We love you too, Ray. And continued success out there.
Yeah, do it.
Hopefully this shit ends, you know, soon. Everybody healthy. You do get to go back to New York. I know you miss it. Something awful. Yeah. So hopefully that comes through.
Yeah, and one day we get to see you in person.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, you know, I actually was supposed to, like, do a storytelling tour for some magazine. I don't want to say it in case they like, bitch, whatever, because we doing this fall. They have a fall date. Right. But I was supposed to do some, like, interactive, cool storytelling thing, whatever, and they had a Charlotte, North Carolina date, and I was going to tell y'all, and then they had to cancel it.
You know what? It's going to be all right, man. Yeah. I'm just going to make sure, you know, I take care of myself. Karen takes care of herself. Mm-hmm. Everybody just take care of yourselves. Life is on pause like a video game right now, okay? Let's just make it through the Rona, and then we're going to turn up afterwards, okay? I see some of y'all going early. And I'm not fucking with y'all, okay? So in 14 days, we'll know which one of y'all, you know, took it off a little too early. But yeah, we're gonna get to see you, Ray. It's gonna be cool.
It's gonna be cool. I have some big hugs for the both of y'all. So.
Same to you. Assuming we're allowed to hug.
Love it.
Breathe.
Bye, chat room. Y'all are funny.
Bye, everybody. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Also, me and Bossy will be doing This Too Much at some point this week. She's hella busy now too, cause she's blowing up. So, all right, y'all. We'll talk to y'all later. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Yeah.